much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Hi, folks. Welcome to our show. If I had known it was Casual Wednesday, I'd have left my jacket backstage.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
I'm sorry, I just started hearing really loud circus music in my head. What did you say?
Poker face. Poker face. Poker face. Poker face. Mama.
What fresh hell is this?
I do chase, I do rival. You don't have to crawl back a fence. We're looking for you. We don't find you. We don't find you. So you can run or jump back.
Why don't we leave the parodies to the pros at Mad TV?
Indeed.
And now.
Have you ever spent time with an 11-year-old boy and wanted more from him than he was willing to give?
Our feature presentation.
Oh.
That is an excellent question. Hey, party people, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is now Wednesday, and time for your telephone calls at 1-800-520-1067. You get on the air, you get a prize. Still got those Iron Man 2 DVDs for you today if you want to call. And now bring up something perhaps that we've missed. How's everybody? Michael, how are you?
You know, getting by. How are you?
Lisa?
I'm fine. It's casual Good. Wednesday, everybody. Let's just remember that.
That's what
Take
Alex
off
Trebek
those,
says.
Those blazers.
Why is Alex Trebek such a dick on Jeopardy?
He's a giant dick.
He's such a dick. I mean, clearly the only reason he comes out and says, oh, if I don't know it was casual Wednesday, is he's mocking the contestants who show up for his program. He doesn't approve of how not dressed up they are. So that's his little dig at them.
Yeah.
But his whole attitude, I swear, it comes from the fact that somebody gives him the answers to the questions on a card, and he thinks that makes him superior in some way.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, because that casual...
He doesn't know any of that stuff.
That casual Wednesday's joke could have been funny and kind of cute, said by other people.
In a different
way. But something
way.
About him saying it sounds so smug.
Because he's a tool, that's why. All right, speaking of the 11-year-old boy that you want to have more of a relationship with, he's willing to give you... This is a great story on many levels. Of course, it comes out of Philadelphia, where you pretty much, I mean, in my experience, all Philadelphians are pervs anyway. But this guy went to Chester County Park. Maybe Ralph knows where that is. The first uncool part of the story is that he followed two girls aged 13 and 14 into the park at around 4:30 in the afternoon and exposed his penis to them. Okay, so far we're already at not cool, right?
Yes, I would agree.
I mean, yeah. My rule of thumb, if I'm going to expose my penis, it's always somebody 18 or over. I check ID first. You don't get involved in any of this, you know, with the kids. Okay, that's wrong right there.
Yeah.
Then he began simulating a sexual act with a large plastic dinosaur in the park.
What's going on?
According to the police. All right, so two strikes in my mind about this guy. Already super uncool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
13 to 14-year-old, now he's having sex with a plastic dinosaur in the park. The man described as Hispanic, between 20 and 30 years old, around 5'6", with a goatee. And here's the part where I really just – this guy, I got to write this guy off as a loser for life. Then fled the scene on his bicycle.
Oh, come on.
Now, seriously, if you can't drive yet, if you don't have access to a car, you're excluded from sexual perversion acts in public as far as I'm concerned. Who's with me on this?
I am.
With you. Yeah.
You know, flash sad. And then drive away on your bicycle. Come on.
Pedaling as fast as you can.
I know. You're just a lame-o. Just
a
wait,
loser.
Wait until you get your act together and then go out and look for girls who are over 18 and maybe cut out the sex with the plastic dinosaur, too.
You don't think that's sexy?
I don't. I think this guy's three strikes and you're out. So.
Oh, man.
Anyway, so I'm just trying to help him out. I'm just trying to give him some advice.
That's nice.
1-800-520-1067. Time for Kevin and Bean's What It Do Nephew. Hit it, Steve.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do? What it do? What it do?
What it do, nephew?
So, what it do?
What it do, nephew?
As mentioned, Iron Man 2 on DVD, available on Blu-ray and DVD next Tuesday, the 28th, from Paramount Home Entertainment. Let's try Brian. Brian is on line 3 to get us started here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Brian, what's going on, man? What it do?
What it do?
What
it do? I hate the stupid sprinkle store.
Oh, cupcakes? Sprinkles cupcakes?
Yes, Sprinkles cupcakes. It takes longer. They ask you for your name, which is cool, whatever. But 2 feet next on the counter, Then it takes them longer to, like, to write your name down than it does to put the stupid cupcakes in the stupid little box and just pay for it and get out the door.
Now, I haven't been to Sprinkles, but why do they feel it necessary to take your name?
I don't know. The whole store, the whole counter is 6 feet long. So yeah. I don't really understand. And there's four people in there. So I don't understand how you need to mix up, you know, take everybody's name down because you, like, you need to keep everybody's name straight.
Yeah. They don't want to mix up your cupcakes. There's nothing worse than getting home with a cupcake you didn't order.
No, but then,
I mean, I cry when that happens.
No, but then I was like, all right, fine. I want a dark chocolate cupcake on white cake.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't do that. I'm like, what are you talking about? You got every other flavor there, but you can't just take some dark, stupid frosting and put it on a white cake?
Well, I don't think they make it live right in front of you. I mean, I think the cupcakes are already prepared. You choose from the ones that are made, though. I don't think it's a made-to-order business, is it?
Right, no.
Okay. I know, but it's all the ingredients are there.
I mean, I want
him to go in the back and frost a cupcake.
Brian sounds particularly upset, but I also do. I'm kind of on Brian's side in that this whole cupcake fad has to die eventually. No one ate cupcakes over 10 years old until like 4 years ago when the idea of the cupcake became the it dessert.
Yeah, they're everywhere
now. Understand
I'm down
it.
With cupcakes. I think cupcakes are awesome. I think Brian ought to accept the fact that cupcakes are awesome. No. There's a reason he goes into the stores because they're awesome and quit bitching about being in there for an extra 30 seconds.
I don't think Brian is the right person for a cupcake.
Brian,
you're not designed for him.
Do you feel me that I think we're on the cusp of going back to the donut, the, you know, 49 cent awesome ready-made kick-ass dessert, you know, within a couple years?
That's what I'm talking about.
All right. That's what I'm talking about.
Thank you for
ripping
the call. I think Brian is so angry a cupcake can't even help him, though.
Yeah, I agree.
Let's try Charles, line six. With all the new TV to watch, I'm already so behind, and it sounds like I missed another great one last night. Charles, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What'd it do?
Yes, you did. You missed A Thousand Ways to Die last night. First, I want to start off with the meth head who's up for 5 weeks straight making meth. And his only source of food is this chewing gum that he's been chewing on for weeks. And keeps dipping his chewing gum in citric acid and chewing it until finally he misses the citric acid bowl and gets some kind of sulfuric acid. And then he takes one bite of the chewing gum and blows his jawbone off.
That is the best.
No.
Oh, wow.
And I forget the funny name that they named it after. And then the other guy, he's in this pool, like in a swamp somewhere, and he has this little fish swim up his urethra, and he decides to pull it out.
Yeah.
But when he yanked it out, he passed out, and then piranhas ate him.
Oh, God. So awesome.
That's the best show ever. And by the way, it sounds like a joke what Charles is talking about, that fish that swims up your penis. But you hear those stories like once a year that happens to somebody. I mean, there's that fish that goes out there and is attracted to the warmth, I guess, or something. But crazy.
I convinced my wife and it was a real show. I mean, it's a real true story.
I know. It's so awesome. I love that show. I know it's been on for a few years. Now, it sounds like this was maybe a new episode because I don't think I've seen that show yet.
Yeah, brand new episode.
Oh, yeah, fantastic. We talked to the producer. I think you might have. Yes, you were on vacation.
Yeah, I was gone last week.
And he did mention the one about the fish. I was thinking you all just need to saran wrap your penises before you go to places like that, right?
And then you have to pee, though. That's the problem, Lisa.
Well, how about just don't swim where there's piranha? That's
good
always
advice.
My rule of thumb.
Charles, great call. I'll definitely set it up to catch the replay on that, man. I really appreciate it. Thanks very much.
Is that show just like porn for you, Bean?
It's the best show ever because I love death so much.
Yeah.
And it's all these unbelievably awesome ways that people die in graphic detail, reenacted by actors. I just love A Thousand Ways to Die. Hope it never goes off the air.
It won't because people keep dying in the most ridiculous ways.
They sure do. They sure do. All right. It's Wednesday on the Kevin and Bean Show. Let's see. What's going on today?
With doo-doo on it.
No, none of that. First of all, I know Ralph is very excited. He's still watching The Smallville. Its 10th season is getting ready to kick off. And Lois Lane is on the program today, ladies and gentlemen. Actress Erica Durance will be here for us. Love that. Got a chance for you to win those Epicenter 2010 tickets and backstage passes. The show, of course, is this weekend with Kiss and Eminem and Blink 182 and so many other bands. You'll have a chance to win those. Omar's got the Glee cap. Glee returned last night. He'll be telling you why he continues to hate that show as it goes into season two. The star of one of the funniest shows on TV, Eastbound and Down, is coming back this weekend. The great Danny McBride is going to be here, too.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Kenny Powers is one of the best characters on television. Yeah. Danny McBride just is phenomenal in that role. Very excited about that. We're going to be looking for you today if you have a really hot stepmom. And what's that got to be like?
Is Look, this because no, of Megan Fox?
Well, yeah, Megan Fox certainly brought it back to the forefront because somewhere out there, there's a nearly teenage boy who goes home and his stepmom is Megan Fox. Can you imagine?
Oh, my God. That's rough.
That's very rough.
Yeah.
I mean, on the one hand, you go awesome. But on the other hand, I mean, this woman is playing the part of your mom.
Yeah.
So you can't think the things that you're thinking. So we're going to do that on the program today. Maybe the most legendary name in all of comic books, the great Stan Lee himself on the program today. Plus Ralph's got – no, different kind of Lee. Plus Ralph's got the showbiz beat every hour, including next, right after this on the Kevin DeBee.
Hearts and thoughts, they fade.
Hey!
Yeah!
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It is 548. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Green Day on the way. Also, Phoenix, The Offspring. And we'll catch up with our old friend Dave Navarro from Jane's Addiction coming up right after the top of the hour. Find out what Dave has been up to. Hey, Ralph Garman.
Hey!
What's going on?
Showbiz stuff.
Yeah?
Yeah. Sad news.
What?
Sad news last night if you're watching Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Or DWTS. By the way, don't call DWTS. Anyone?
It's not any quicker.
Because Dancing with the Stars is five syllables, and DWTS is also five syllables. You're saving no time, people.
It doesn't roll off the tongue any quicker.
It is not easy. Save your initialisms for something more worthy.
Okay.
That's the moral for today's story. But they had the big first vote-off episode last night, and tragically, horrifically, horribly, Hasselhoff was voted off.
No!
Yeah, they hassled the Huff.
Wow.
That's happened.
Kind of shocking.
It's more than shocking. It's no longer a reason to watch that show.
I know. They've got to be upset.
Huff said after the fact that he was so focused and so nervous and so concerned with his performance on Monday night that he barely remembers it. Yeah, that's what it is, Dave. That's why it is. It was nerves. That's why you barely remember it.
Because you're never on stage.
You drunken sot.
Well, if we needed any proof that this show isn't fixed, here it is, because Hoff is the draw. Mm-hmm.
Here's a little taste of, the horrible news.
The couple with the lowest overall combined total, and therefore leaving right now, is... David and Kim.
Oh, baby. Oh, no. You want to hear what he had to say afterwards?
Yes, I do.
Here you go.
You're an actor, you're a singer, you're a multi-talented artist. What has been the most difficult part of all this for you?
Oh, you know, it's been a great ride, and I feel bad for Kim because she worked so hard to try and get me where I was going, and I'm just so proud that my daughters are here, and they got to see me go this far, so it's great.
Okay, all right, easy. It wasn't a great ride, and
no.
You didn't go that far.
I could have gone that
so
far.
So don't tell us what a great ride it's been and how proud you are. Your daughters got to see you go all the way to the first elimination.
You know, literally, and I use that word correctly, every single person watching the show could have competed well enough to be the first person asked to leave.
Yes. Absolutely. He has as much talent as anyone in America when it comes to dancing. And Brooke Burke, by the way,
yes.
The actor, singer, multi-talented artist. Why don't you take it down a notch, too? Everybody relax over there on Dancing with the Stars.
So the situation lives to dance another day.
He wasn't even the final two.
Really?
It was between Hasselhoff and Kyle Massey.
Hmm. And the situation was terrible,
awful.
But I guess they gave him credit for only having, you know, a few days to rehearse
yeah.
because he just finished Jersey Shore.
Well, Margaret Cho had all the rehearsal time in the world, just as bad as the situation.
Right, exactly.
So, there's no God, that's all I'm saying. When Hasselhoff is hassled, there's no
God. I agree.
But you know what the good news for David is? There is still plenty of liquor in the world. So, it's an upside. He can get up this morning and say, you know what? There are stores that sell nothing but alcohol that I can walk into and purchase.
Tell me you're going to stop.
I'm going to stop.
Promise?
No.
Yes?
I'll be fine.
Never gets old. Never. James Gandolfini in trouble with the police. Well, you know,
right.
He runs the mob and everything. You can imagine
sure.
why they'd show up in the back room of the Bada Bing and hassle him a little
yeah.
bit. But,
absolutely.
He was driving his truck, got pulled over for running a stop sign. And he was chatting on the cell phone, by the way.
Nice.
Cops discovered he didn't have a valid license. So James started to hoof it because they towed his Chevy Avalanche away from the scene.
Oh, that's kind of sad.
That is sad. But he could use the exercise. So
yeah,
that's true. He's a big boy.
Look, I know he's an actor, but if I'm a police officer and I pull a car over and it's freaking Tony Soprano behind
just
the
shoot
wheel,
him. Just shoot him.
I just turn around and go the other way.
I just empty my service revolver right into his chest because you don't know what's...
Well, because, you know, bad things are going to happen, man. Next thing you find a horse's head, you're bet or something. Or was that a different mob movie?
I think that was completely different. Yeah.
Kim Kardashian has split up with Dallas Cowboys receiver Miles Austin.
Well, they're 0-2. You can't really blame her.
At this point, she will have amassed as many NFL players as the Hall of Fame if she keeps up at this clip. First, Reggie Bush breaks his leg. Now that's Miles Austin's 0-2. She is bad news, Kim Kardashian.
She is a good luck charm when she's with you, though.
Is she?
She was with Reggie Bush,
went to the Super Bowl, established himself
in the NFL, moves on to Miles Austin, and signs like a $65 million deal or something like that, then breaks up with him, 0-2.
Well,
she gets rid of Reggie Bush, Heisman gone, broken leg.
Good point.
Well, hope she starts dating Michael Vick then next. That's what I'm guessing. I don't know if you heard, by the way, Vick, starting quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles.
How about that?
Now, how does Kevin Cobb deal with that? Like, how does
he sits there with his $12.5 million a year and
takes
gets over
his fat paycheck and realizes it's about winning football games. Yeah. It's not about your feelings, Kevin Cobb. I think it was absolutely the right call.
And look, he's young and he'll still be on a Super Bowl winning team if Vic pans out the way they hope.
Easy.
No, but I'm just saying, if the team does well, it's great for him too.
Yeah, and look, and if Vic fails, then, you know, he gets put back into the mix, and we get to see what he can do. I think it's a win-win for him, really. But it's a win-win for the Eagles, too, because right now, by all accounts and by all the visual evidence that I've seen watching the games, he gives you your best chance to win. So if you want to win football games, you got to go with that, right?
And it doesn't seem like a classic quarterback controversy to me in that it's not like it's Donovan McNabb versus Michael Vick. I mean, you've got one guy who clearly is the established player.
Yeah. The guy's a pro, and he's a vet, and he's playing great ball. So,
and there'll be time for the other dude, too.
And I think this avoids a quarterback controversy. Because if you had put Cobb back in, and he struggled, fans would have been calling for his head and for Michael Vick for the remainder of the season. So this way, you give the fans what they want, and if it goes awry, they got no one to blame but themselves.
Exactly.
So it takes the pressure off that organization, I think. Did you catch Glee last night?
I did see Glee.
I didn't.
Oh, I love me some Glee. I love Coach Beast.
Let's talk about Coach Beast for a second.
It's B-E-I-S-T-E.
You didn't see it, but it's the biggest woman you've ever seen in your life. It's like Large Marge from the Pee-wee movies. Is that an actual woman, or is that a man playing a woman?
It is a 100% genetic female.
That is a hell of a woman.
Can
you imagine being her and going through life?
Wow.
No.
This role... she must be over the moon. Because how many roles are there for a massive woman who looks like a dude? Not many, right?
She's just lucky that China Kardashian didn't want it.
That's true.
It's just like Precious. I mean, like, she's so lucky to have had that role.
That's right.
Available.
Yeah. Anyway, the news about Glee is, according to E! Online, Gwyneth Paltrow will be performing in an upcoming episode this season.
She's on her way to Oslo being Nobel.
Apparently she, you know, I'm confused by the Gwyneth Paltrow, because I would ordinarily say Nobel, but she looks so hot in the Iron Man movies.
She sure does.
She keeps confusing me. Every time I watch the Iron Man movies, I say, hey, damn. Yeah. And then I have to sit down and think things out.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, with the amount of special effects and lighting and stuff, I mean, they can make...
You think she's CGI'd?
They can make Khloe Kardashian look like Megan Fox in Iron Man 2.
I suppose. I'm just saying it confuses me. Anyway, she will be playing a substitute teacher who takes over for Mr. Shu while he's out sick, and naturally Gwyneth will be singing a couple songs. She did singing before in the movie. She did a movie called Duets with Huey Lewis, you know, one of her smash hits, one of her many smash hit movies that Gwyneth has had. And, of course, next week, the big Britney episode. So everyone, buckle up.
I noticed how it's so interesting that Gwyneth Paltrow is on the show because her husband, Chris Martin's band, is famously one of the holdouts on Glee. Won't let them use their music on the episode.
Well, maybe this is their way to grease the wheels
maybe
a little bit.
Interesting.
While she's on the set, maybe Tab Hunter, whoever that guy is who created that show. What's his name?
Ryan Murphy.
Skip Riffley.
Ryan Murphy.
He comes up there and says, hey, Gwynny. How about spreading the love? Why don't you give Chris a good talking to?
I think
next time you see him in a couple months, whenever it is you guys hang out.
The actor that plays Puck will construct a very compelling argument with his silver tongue.
Well, he's so chatty.
and dynamic.
Kanye West is returning to Saturday Night Live, even though he sort of slammed the show in his new single, Power. He will be the musical guest on the October 2nd edition, which will be hosted by Breaking Bad star Bryan Cranston.
Oh, wow.
The rapper was last on Saturday Night Live in December of 2008, so it's been a while for Kanye, but it should be a good show. Well, no, I forgot it's Saturday Night Live. But still, you got Bryan Cranston for a minute, and then you've got Saturday Night Live. You know, Cranston's an excellent improv actor. He did a lot of improv comedy early in his career and stuff, and I think he'll be very funny on that show.
I think so, too.
I can see that.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Dodgers legend Tommy Lasorda.
Yeah.
Turns 83 years old today. He has his birthday just in time to celebrate the fact that the Dodgers have officially been eliminated from playoff contention.
Don't forget, say hello to Jane Biondi.
Jane Biondi, of course. Want to say hi to her. Singer Joan Jett of the legendary Blackhearts and the Runaways. She is 52 years old today.
Ooh.
All right. Joan Jett. Andrea Bocelli, opera singer.
He can't see. Don't tell him I said
what. He is 52 years old today as well. Scott Baio.
Yeah!
He is 49 and single. No, 49 and married with a kid. Whatever that reality show is. TV host and actress, rather. Bonnie Hunt turns 49 years old today. Speaking of Smallville, we have, of course, Erica Durance, Lois Lane from that program, coming on later today. Laura Vandervoort.
Oh, yeah.
Who played Supergirl on that show and is also on V. She's 26 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
We're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. I don't know if he smiled or not, because you don't usually see Eddie Vedder in a happy place, but he did get married again this weekend, Lisa. I don't know if you saw this article or not, but he was married once before for a few years and divorced, and now he's been with this lady, I think, for 6 years. They got two kids together, and they walked down the aisle this weekend. It was funny. When Ralph did the story a couple days ago, you know, you just picture an Eddie Vedder wedding reception. Because he's not sunshine.
He's not. I can't imagine what life with Eddie is like, honestly.
Because, you know, he's got the hot model wife. He's got the greatest job in the world, being the singer for Pearl Jam. But every time you see him on anything, it's always, you know, doom and gloom and global warming and genocide. And it just doesn't sound like a party.
He's a downer.
He's very much a downer. And some of the celebrity guests, by the way, that were at his wedding and enjoying the reception were Sean Penn, also not known as a party.
Yeah.
And Jack Johnson, who seems like a super nice guy, but doesn't exactly bring the energy.
Low-key.
Very low-key guy, right? So I don't know what the deal is, but we're very happy. We've been fans of Eddie Vedder for a long time, and, of course, big Pearl Jam fans here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We thought we'd send our congratulations along. I think we've got Eddie on the line with us right now. Mr. Vedder, congratulations. How are you, sir?
I'm doing okay, man. I'm doing all right. How are you?
We're fine. If you could speak up just a little bit, Eddie. We're having some trouble making it out.
Sure, man.
Okay.
Good morning.
Yeah, hi.
How are you guys?
What, are you at a train station? Where are you? What's going on, Eddie?
No, we're still partying hard, man. For my reception, you know?
From the reception this past weekend, you guys are still partying?
Oh, yeah. It's crazy, this party. We're really celebrating because I'm so excited about my marriage.
You sound thrilled.
You know how it goes, man.
Right, but what I'm saying is I picture you doing a lot of things. Partying is not one of them. You're not a lampshade on the head kind of guy, Eddie.
No, you wouldn't believe how hard I'm partying here with all my friends.
What are you doing?
What am I doing?
Exactly.
Oh, you know, just thinking about how many children are dying for the use of blood diamonds in the Congo. What are you doing? Are you aware of the fact that the Earth's probably going to be rendered useless very soon because of human abuse, widespread pollution?
Okay.
Do you have running water where
yes.
you are?
Yes. Yeah,
there's a lot of children all over Africa who don't.
All right, Eddie, I'm not saying these aren't all important items, the things you have to think about, but isn't there a time to set them aside and just go, hey, it's my wedding reception, I'm just going to enjoy it?
Yeah, that's a good point, man. That's why I'm here with my good buddies, and we're really just blowing the roof off this place.
It sounds like it. Who's still there? If the reception was this weekend, I can't imagine there are many people left.
It's packed in here.
It sounds like it.
Jack Johnson's here. Good buddy of mine. Yeah, I had the wedding here in Hawaii, so, you know, he stopped by. And
okay.
You want to talk to Jack Johnson?
So he's still there.
Oh, he's there. Yeah, we'll talk to him. Absolutely, we will. Sure.
Hey, Jack.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Jack Johnson, Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, great to talk to you guys again.
It sounds like you're not exactly tearing the roof off the sucker either.
No, man, we're partying. And,
okay.
I'm really, I was rocking out for the crowd here. Just
you don't rock, you don't rock out.
I do rock out. Hit
you
it,
don't
hit
rock.
It.
Okay. But that's about as rocking out as you get, though. That's
really?
not a party that goes. But that's not a party that stays on for 4 days.
People are going crazy when I play that.
Hey, Johnson, turn it down, man. This is a public place.
Sorry,
someone's going to call the cops.
I didn't mean to get out of control.
Someone's going
to
call the cops.
All right, I apologize. I'll take it down a notch, bro.
This does sound like the worst party ever. Why don't you guys just go home and go to sleep where you'd clearly rather be?
Worst party ever, man. You know who else is here?
Who?
No. Who?
How about an A-lister, Sean Penn, man?
Oh, Academy Award-winning actor deal. Sean Penn. He's a big name, but not a party.
Smart guy, friend of mine. You guys want to talk Sean Penn?
Yeah, you know we do. Of course we do. Yeah.
He sees absolutely. The roof is on fire here, man. I'm telling you. Hey, Sean Penn.
What?
Mr. Penn, yeah. Kevin Bean Show here, sir. How are you?
I'm better than they are in Haiti. So are you.
Okay. Okay, but yes. But this, again, this isn't about solving the troubles of the world. This is just about letting loose and enjoying your friend and their marriage.
I am doing that. What are you doing?
Well, we're just congratulating Eddie. That's all we're trying to do.
All right.
What do you
5 minutes and think about people who don't have it as good as you do, okay?
Okay, but what do you do for 4 days at a wedding reception?
Party.
Did you ever think about going comedy with it and doing it at Spicoli?
Man,
do you want to apologize to my friend Sean Penn for that stupid sophomore comment?
I'm sorry, I didn't mean. I wasn't.
He was trying
to
talk to you about Haiti. You know, hey, you guys want to talk to someone else, man?
Who else is there?
New England Patriots head coach Bill Belichick is talking.
What are the chances? Was he invited?
He was, man. A big Patriots fan. Hey, Belichick.
Whoa,
Mr. Belichick, Kevin Amin's show here.
Yeah.
Did you just get there? You've been here the whole time since the wedding?
Whole time.
Wow. It's really going off, it sounds like.
Mm-hmm.
Good party, huh?
Yeah.
What kinds of things are happening?
Cake.
Yeah?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Dancing?
Yeah.
Music?
Sure.
A lot of drinking.
Mm-hmm.
Did you bring a date, Bill? You didn't.
Hoping to get lucky at the wedding.
Hold on, man. With the time change, Mr. Belichick, you've got to turn it down a little bit. They may not be ready for that type of energy back in Los Angeles. Hey, oh my God.
Wait.
What?
Harrison Ford's here.
Oh, come on.
Harrison, you want to say hello to your friends, Kevin and Bean, man?
Hi, Harrison Ford. How are you?
I'm great. I'm not even at the party.
I'm sorry, I missed that last part. Say it again, please.
It's great to be here. Having a great time at the party.
You having a great time at the party. Okay. Yeah, and of course, you're a newlywed as well. You and Callista got married earlier this year as well, right?
Yeah, that's right.
What? I'm having... It's noisy where you are, Harrison. I can't quite make out what you're saying.
Yes, I am. I've been together for a long time. Traveling great.
And you're doing the Macarena on the dance floor?
Yeah.
You heard that?
I'm just guessing. I'm just trying to figure out.
What did I tell you, man? The party won't stop till the panties drop when Eddie Vedder throws the party, man.
I guess we were wrong. Thanks for shedding some light on that for us, Ed.
Yeah, man.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. On the way, Erica Durant. She, of course, from Smallville.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. Also, Omar's Glee cap last night. The show returned for season 2. Danny McBride from Eastbound and Down on the program today. The great Stan Lee. So much more coming up on the show. Look, Oprah is finally going away, and I think it's time. This is her 25th season of doing the syndicated show.
That's unbelievable.
And she crazy. I don't know if you've had a chance to check her out this season or not. Have either of you guys seen a minute of the new Oprah season?
No.
She is crazy. I don't know.
What do you mean
by
crazy?
Well, I'm going to play some tape from her first show back. This is the show that you probably have heard by now that she decided she's taking the whole audience to Australia.
Yes.
But listen to a little bit of it and tell me what it is she's doing. Like, is this good TV or is she just enjoying teasing the audience or is she trying to torture them? I mean, it's – well, you listen and then we'll discuss.
All summer long, I was racking my brain thinking, what could we do to top all those cheesesteaks?
She was talking about how earlier she had taken the studio audience on a trip to Philadelphia.
Okay.
I don't know. Should we go to Philly again? I don't know. Or maybe we should all go to New York City.
And by the way, her audience.
What's
is
going on?
This crazy is, people.
I have other reasons I stopped watching this show, but I couldn't take the audience. Honestly,
the
all of
There's
the
so screaming.
She's
in a situation now where she's so beloved. I mean, she's so worshipped. She's a godlike figure to these people that it's the equivalent of a rock band saying, hey, anyone want to party? I mean, Everything is a cheap applause line. But the audience, you're right, Mike, is way over the top with everything she says.
That couldn't have been the first take. I mean, because that's how talk shows are. I mean, do they continuously do that? They sit
they
there for
do.
4 hours and just yell like that?
They do,
yeah. So all she said so far is, I could take you to New York, and they're screaming their heads off.
I don't know. Then I got to thinking, I love New York. But then again, everybody's so busy, I know.
Cheering that they're busy?
No, because that means it's something
bigger.
Something else.
And what is this accent Oprah is doing? What character is she playing from the stage
I don't
now?
Know.
I mean, is this Farm Oprah? What are we listening to here?
Yes. And I don't really have any business in Philadelphia or New York or L.A. And then I thought, gee, maybe I ought to think.
Why wouldn't Oprah, a woman who owns a television network, have any business in New York or L.A., by the way? That seems a little disingenuous to me.
She, you're veering from the script, Bean. Come on.
Bigger.
Well, they sure are happy about maybe something bigger. This is on TV, by the way.
Because after all, this really is my 25th season.
Right. How can they be applauding that much for the 25th season? Every person in there knew it was the 25th season, right? When they showed up at the door.
Bean, you edited this. This is not.
No, this is live off my TV, Mike. This aired. People watched this or didn't.
This is really my last chance to do something really big.
It reminds me of one of the – if you ever see – I know you watch a lot of the History Channel, Mike. You see those World War II Nazi rallies?
Yeah. Yeah.
Hitler or somebody is up there and the crowd is just going crazy for every word out of his mouth.
Every fourth word out of fear, the crowd just explodes with you know, applause.
I mean, do they have a cattle prod in everybody's butt in this audience?
They don't
I mean,
have they... to. They love her.
Oh, my God.
Wait a minute. And if you want to do something big, you would want to take along your ultimate viewer.
Okay. I didn't even hear the last
take
word.
Take along the ultimate viewers. I guess
oh,
they
viewers.
They stack this particular audience with hardcore Oprah.
I had heard that, yeah.
By the way, she's been on for 2 minutes now. Has she said anything?
No.
I started to think about where would I most want to go? Maybe I should take all of you with me.
Is somebody going to have a heart attack before the announcement?
I had to turn my headphones down. It was too loud.
To the other side of the world.
Okay, now you've heard how excited the audience is when she hasn't said anything. Wait till you see what happens. The atomic bomb, that is, we're going to Australia. Listen to this group of baddie broads. Okay, now, I apologize for this. There are people listening who don't want to be screamed at. But now Oprah is going to proceed to scream for the next 2 minutes. That's all she's going to do is scream about Australia.
You can barely hear her.
I know. They brought brought in Paul Oakenfold, too. For that.
Look, I know a free trip. Look, who wouldn't want a free trip to Australia? I'd be excited, too. But you'd be initially thrilled and excited, and then you'd get over it in a few seconds, and you'd be normal again. You'd be reasonable. They're not on the Spanish World Cup team, okay? You didn't just accomplish something after years of trying. You drove to, you drove down to Chicago, parked your car, walked in, and sat in Oprah's audience, and she gave you a trip. That's all that's happened here so far.
Is this the rest of the show? Is this all they
that's
do
the
for the whole
the
hour?
You
know, if she'd said, we're going to North Korea, the reaction would have been exactly the same.
I think you're right. And I have to ask, look, it's cool if you're in the audience and you're an Oprah fan and you get to go to Australia. Free trip to Australia is cool, okay?
Awesome.
What's in it for me, the home viewer? Why is this good television?
Me and my couch going nowhere?
Yeah.
I can't imagine.
I mean, isn't that kind of the point of the show, is you're supposed to put something on that's entertaining or inspirational or educational or something, especially if you're Oprah. I mean, that's what she's all about. But isn't this just an entire show of, hey, look at me and look how great I am?
Yes. Yeah.
Is and this anything else but that? I am worshipped, and here's why.
This is everybody pat me on the back. And now that she's built up her career to the point where they'll just cheer for anything, she's got to have fun with it in her remaining days on TV and just say, I'm going to give you feces, just to see if they cheer.
That's what she's doing. Hold on. How about some more? And if you were just tuning in at this moment, if you just turned on your TV and you saw all those people, and I'm telling you, they are weeping and they're falling to the ground like they're filled with the Holy Spirit, you wouldn't have any idea what was going on. You'd never be able to guess that they just got some air miles. It's crazy. All right, there's plenty more, but we're out of time. But, I mean, that goes on forever. And then every time they come back from a commercial break, you get this.
Yep. The Oprah Show is going to Australia.
I don't know that I could take a whole season of Oprah yelling at me, guys. I'm sorry. I just can't do it.
I can't do it.
K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It is 6:53.
Yep. The Oprah Show is going to Australia.
Oprah, Noprah. Ralph Garman's here with the Showbiz Beat, and then Erica Durant's from Smallville, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, my God.
Joining us just after the top of the hour. Anyway, I'm very much looking forward to that. Ralph, you are one of the few people I know who has stuck with Smallville since F1 and never let go.
Then why don't you go get a cup of hot Joe while I'm talking to Lois Lane, Skippy? Why don't you just move along? Because you got nothing to contribute, and I got lots of questions.
So you got dibs on her? Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying beat it. That's what I'm saying. Tell your story of walking.
Erica Durant's coming up. Also, Danny McBride, of course, on the program today, the great Stan Lee, and more. Right now, time for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Well, the future is here, everybody. Congratulations. We now live in the future.
We do.
Oh, yep. Tell me.
Whatever with your jetpacks, whatever with your flying cars, whatever with whatever, the first sign that we now live in the future we all imagined is here. Just read in the other room about this story. It has nothing to do with show business, but I was so impressed I had to talk about it. The Imperial College in London and the Royal College of Art have developed Fabrican. Yes, Fabrican. Lisa, it is clothing in a can.
Yeah!
It is either it comes in an aerosol can or in a spray gun, but you spray the clothing onto your body.
Nope.
It is fabric that is sprayed onto your body. And they've got videos at their website where you can see chicks putting on T-shirts just by spraying it on. You just spray it on, and it becomes clothing, and then you can just remove it like a T-shirt. You pull it off your body like a T-shirt.
Do you look like you do when they paint your body, more
or
less?
Yeah.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
Spell it for us, Ralph.
Yes.
Fabrican. F-A-B-R-I-C-A-N. Fabrican.
You know... Ralph Garman.
Hey, it's Gene Simmons. What's up, Gene Simmons?
You mentioned spraying things onto women's bodies.
I did, Gene Simmons.
No, Gene.
Got some ideas for you, Lisa May.
Fabrican. You can dye it, you can design it, you can make your own clothing, and it comes in a can.
It's amazing.
It's the future.
It is
the future. Oh, I'm going to get dressed this morning. Let's see. What color fabric hand should I use? Oh, I think I'll wear some blue jeans. Shh. Boom. Pants.
No.
I'm spraying pants on.
I was going to say for the fellas.
With
it
my
might...
pendulous testicles.
There you go.
So I'm going to cover them with fabric hand. Oh, that's just awesome.
I agree.
I'm so excited about fabric hand. Oh, my goodness. All right, let's talk about showbiz news, shall we? Time Cop. You remember Time Cop?
Yeah.
I do.
Classic Jean-Claude Van Damme movie. Well, in this age we live in where everything is a remake or a reboot or a retcon, apparently Time Cop is coming back. A big-budget remake of one of JCVD's greatest hits, Time Cop, is in the works. Time Cop 2.0. However, the producers say Van Damme won't be invited back.
Oh, yeah. Come on.
Well, he's 110.
Well, they could give him a cameo or something.
Yeah. Look, he said no in The Expendables. I can't imagine he'd say yes to a cameo in one of his most famous movies. He's got a touch of an ego on him.
Yeah.
I don't know what his reasons were for passing on The Expendables. Maybe he didn't want to share the spotlight, but he has to have looked at the phenomenal success of that movie. Great critical hit and huge box office success, and he has to be slapping himself over that one, right?
Well, maybe number two. I know they're already working on the sequel, so maybe they'll be invited for that. But Time Cop, of course, for those who don't know, is about a cop who travels through time. That's basically the concept there. Check it out. Good casting news. Vincent D'Onofrio, who is a really talented actor, played Detective Gorin on Law & Order Criminal Intent for 8 seasons before he quit the show and turned the reins over to Jeff Goldblum's character, is apparently coming back for the 10th and possibly last season of the show. It's now on USA Network. And apparently he'll be back. And looks like this will be a wrap-up for the series, and that's why he's coming back to say goodbye to the show that made him a lot of money and made him a big TV star. He is an intense dude.
Yeah, he is.
He's one of my favorite actors. You probably know him best if you don't watch Law & Order Criminal Intent. He played Gomer, Private Pyle, in Full Metal Jacket. A chilling performance he gave in that. And he was also great in a little movie called The Salton Sea with Val Kilmer, where he played a meth dealer who had no nose.
Yeah.
Pooh Bear was the name of the character. He had a prosthetic nose he used to put on.
That was it.
Very spooky.
One of the most unsettling characters I've ever watched on camera.
Had a pet badger named Captain Stubing. Right. And he would take the people he didn't like, he would put their junk inside the badger cage and then let them, Captain Stubing, do his work.
Dude.
That's not good for anybody.
Josh Todd from Buck Cherry got the Captain Stubing treatment. He was in that movie. That was Josh Todd from Buckshot, the lead vocalist.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He was the one who ended up getting his junk stooping.
That's right.
Wow.
Good stuff.
It's a terrible visual. I'm hoping we move on.
Janine Lindemuller.
There we go.
Yeah.
Is unhappy with Sandra Bullock. TMZ.com is reporting that the second ex-wife of Jesse James has filed documents in Orange County alleging that Sandra Bullock badmouthed her in front of her daughter, Sonny. Of course, Sonny, also the daughter of Jesse James, and was spent a lot of time with Sandra and Jesse while they were married. Janine says that Sandra was driving around with Sonny when she blurted out at one point. I'm sorry, Janine says she was driving around with her daughter, Sonny, when Sonny told her, "Sandy said you lied to police, and that's why you went to jail."
Ooh.
That's not true. It was tax evasion.
Yeah. She lied to the IRS.
To a kid. So she says she is suing Sandra for bad-mouthing her to her daughter. You know what?
I don't think you can do that.
Good luck. I don't think you can
either. And you went to jail.
Yeah, listen, porn star, drug addict, tax evasion person. Don't bring that stuff up, because there's a lot of stuff to be talked about there.
Right.
So just take your lumps and say, I made some mistakes in the past and try to be better now.
Janine went on to say that she didn't like Sandra because she's just too happy.
Yeah, that's right. Goddamn fake happiness all the time. Kesha.
Yeah.
She is... she wants you to know she is very different from most young stars.
Yeah.
In the music industry. She says some stars dance on tables or fall out of limousines when they drink too much, but Kesha is different. She says she has a soft spot for arithmetics and enjoys tackling really hard math problems. Come on. You can't even spell your name right. You have a dollar sign in the middle of your name instead of an S.
What did you do?
But she says she loves math.
Yay.
Okay. Yeah, nope. She seems like a real math whiz. She's a mathlete. That's what she is. Come on, Kesha. Fabrican, people. Clothing in a can.
When can we get some?
I don't know, but I'm going to get on top of it.
They sure took a naked chick and just sprayed a dress on her, Ralph.
They sure did that.
That's what they did.
That's what they did. You know what? Just when we get rid of Miss Cleo, we find out they got clothing in a can. What the hell are we thinking?
Let's bring her back.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Dodgers legend Tommy Lasorda is 83 years old today. Maybe they can bring him back to coach. He can be the manager next year. I know they have Don Mattingly.
They have Donnie Baseball. Yeah. But I don't know if Mr. Lasorda is in any shape to be coaching anymore.
Well, he can barely say hi to Jane Biondi.
Don't forget, say hello to Jane Biondi.
He barely got that out. He's 83 years old today. Singer Joan Jett of the Blackhawks. Not the Blackhawks. That's a hockey team.
Plays for the Blackhawks?
I saw her skating the cup the other day. It was cool.
The Black Hearts and the Runaways, 52. Andrea Bocelli is 52 as well. Scott Baio is 49, as is TV talk show host and actress Bonnie Hunt. Laura Vandervoort. Speaking of Smallville, we've got Erica Durance coming up next.
Yes, we do.
Laura played Supergirl on that show and went on to star in V. She's 26 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show as V.
Hey! I said hey!
Yes, hey. You did.
All right, 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's the Kevin and Bean Show, 708.
Look at Ralph.
I love that theme. Look at Ralph. You look moist already, Ralph. Smallville returns for its 10th and final season this Friday night on CW at 8 o'clock. We are very excited to welcome back to the program Lois Lane herself, ladies and gentlemen. The great Erica Durance joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Erica.
Hi, how are you?
Very excited about tonight's season premiere.
Oh, me too.
Now, this is the final season of Smallville. Isn't that right? That's sad.
Yes, it is. Yeah, well, 10 years. The decade's pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good run.
I'll tell you, I am a big fan of the show, Erica, and I've been following since season one. And I got to tell you, I think last season was perhaps one of the strongest of the entire run. Great stuff.
Oh, thank you. Well, it was fun. They gave us some really cool stuff to do. And, of course, as you get later on in the series or whatever, especially like this year, I mean, the writers pretty much can do whatever they want. So I think fans will be pretty excited because they can... They're going crazy this year. So.
Now the rule over there has always been legendarily no tights, no flights. But seeing as this is the last year of Smallville and Clark's growing up and he's becoming Superman from the Blur, is there a chance that they might go back on that rule of thumb?
I have no idea, but I do keep teasing him about it.
That he's going
to
be wearing tights.
That I'm going to get a petition going to get him wearing tights, but I'm afraid of what he'd make me wear.
But really, though, and Ralph, you've been a Superman fan your whole life. Isn't that what you want to see? It's like when you went to see the one good thing about the new Star Wars movies is you finally get to see Darth Vader in the outfit. You want to see the creation of the legend that you've loved, right?
I would think so. I'm totally in your guys's whatever park.
Yeah. Well, they kind of teased.
Sorry, you have to forgive me. I did just wake up.
Oh, we don't need that visual.
I'm not an early bird like you guys. You're all chipper.
They kind of teased us at the end of last season when Clark opened that box and we saw sort of the crest, the legendary crest of Superman. So I'm hoping maybe that'll be the case.
Well, but I will say that Lois, of course, being Lois, goes through his things and finds a suit that his mother left for him. That's pretty
cool. Oh, how about that? What a luxury, by the way, as an actor to be able to plan ahead knowing it's the final season, and also, you know, creatively for the writers to be able to, as you said, put anything they want in that final season and know that they're working toward a date. It's so much better than so many TV shows that kind of find out too late to be able to wrap it up. You guys should really have a lot of fun with season 10.
Yeah, we're really excited about it. Like I said, they're already going crazy. I mean, we've shot we're on our eighth one. We're starting today, and I mean, it's been all over the map for my character and the things that I've been able to get away with doing, and the fact that I know his secret at the beginning of this year,
right.
And then I get to play with when does Lois tell him? Does she tell him, or does he tell her? And so there's a lot of fun there as well.
The relationship between Lois and Clark, which has been explored plenty in movies and television before, I think you guys have really sort of taken it to a new level. And the chemistry between you and Tom Welling has been tremendous last season, and I'm looking forward to this year as well.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah, it's been fun, and they've given us a lot of cool stuff to do. I think it's great how they've written that it's a couple that banters back and forth, and that's a little bit more fun than just this constant being in love thing. So it's fun to have somebody where, yeah, you get to play that back and forth with. And
I agree. And love is for losers, Erica. You're right about that.
I'm such a cynic. Watching it on TV, people are like, let's watch some angst. So.
Exactly. Maybe there's stuff you can't tell us because I know you want to keep some surprises there, but will some of our favorites who have left the show come back? Is there any chance we might see Lex Luthor again or Lana Lang maybe?
I was all ready for that question, and I have no idea. And I'm not lying because I'm so out of the loop when it comes to that. But I really want to work with Michael again, and I really hope he does come back. And I wouldn't put it past everybody to have some, you know, some big thing that they're going to do at the end of it and some of the finale. And I know they're you know, exploring a little bit this year of Lex's history and some of the stuff. So they're kind of taking some of Tess Mercer's character and she's unveiling some certain things about Lex, which I think the fans will really, really love. And it'll be really exciting.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, I think it's already been released that John Glover's coming back as Lionel Luthor, right? He's in the show.
Yes. Man.
And
has been released, and that's going to be awesome.
And John Schneider, apparently, Pa Kent, will be...
Dead or not dead? Come on, what's the deal there?
He's haunting Clark now. Clark should just be like, Dad, seriously, you gotta go.
Wow, he's got a lot of spooky
dads. Let it go,
dads.
Dad.
He's got a lot of spooky dads. They're speaking to him from beyond the grave.
He does. I think that Lois should be a little concerned. His parentage is a little strange. And that's character's all right, but his dads are a little wacko.
We are talking to the beautiful Erica Durance on the phone right now on the Kevin and Bean Show about the season premiere of Smallville's 10th and final season. It's going to be Friday night at 8 on the CW. You are going to go on and have a long career, I'm sure, Erica, and get lots of other work. But being a character like Lois Lane is something that will be with you in some way forever because your fans, especially sci-fi fans, will never, ever let you forget that you were Lois Lane.
I love that.
Yeah,
I don't have a problem with that. I think that she's such an awesome character, and what they've given me to do on the show, she's just all over the map. And you know, I don't know. I love how human she is. She's great. She makes all sorts of mistakes and laughs at herself. And what a great character to be able to play. No, I'm really grateful.
And I'm not just saying this because you're on the phone, Erica, but I'm sort of a comic book fanboy geek. And I'll tell you, of all the portrayals of the character from Margot Kidder to Noelle Neal, I mean, there's been a lot of actors that have played Lois. I think you have come closest to what the fans who read the comics and we always envisioned what Lois would be like. You've done a great job with her.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you very much. I know that when I originally came, people were a little bit freaked out because that's not really even close to what the mythology is. So we were skating on thin ice for a while, that's for sure.
But she's grown into that character I think we all know and love from the comics, and it's been great what they've done with her.
Awesome. Thank you.
Well, we're very excited about the 10th season of Smallville. I'm sure it's going to do great for y'all, and it again starts this Friday night on the CW at 8 o'clock. Erica, I hope this isn't the last time we get to talk to you because we always enjoy having you on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thank you for coming on.
Me too. Thanks for having me.
You bet. All right, Ralph, you happy now?
No. I want her on more, the next hour and the next one.
She was probably still in bed.
She just woke up.
Because she just woke up.
All right. Imagine her wearing like a little Superman t-shirt.
I bet she does. I bet you're right about that. I hate to change gears.
Why do you suck so much?
To move on to something else. I know, but we have to. But we have tickets for Epicenter 2010 this Saturday and Sunday. That's this weekend at the Auto Club Speedway in Fontucky. Tickets and backstage passes. We're talking about Bush, Kiss, Eminem, Papa Roach, Blink-182, Rise Against, 30 Seconds to Mars, Bad Religion. The list goes on and on and on. We're going to give them away next at 1-800-520-1067. Here's a tip for you, though. Be good at lyrics. All right, looking for people who know these bands, know these songs, pretty good at lyrics. You'll have a good chance to win, and we'll play a new game for you when we come back right after this on the Kevin and Bean. This is the Kevin and Bean Show, the weekend you've been waiting for. If you want to see Eminem, you don't get a chance to do that very often. Also, Bush, Kiss, Papa Roach, House of Pain, Crash Kings, Blink-182, Rise Against, 30 Seconds to Mars, Bad Religion, Suicidal Tendencies, Against Me, A Day to Remember, the list goes on and on and on. Talking, of course, about the one and only Epicenter 2010. Tickets and backstage passes, it's time to play Hawking the Hits.
A guy who's lean, a guy who's clean, a guy who talks with a machine. It's time for Stephen Hawking now, Stephen Hawking now. It's time for Hawking the Hits.
Stephen Hawking.
Our favorite physicist, Stephen Hawking. Dr. Hawking on the phone with us once again. Big rock and roll fan. Hey, doctor, how are you, man?
Good morning, Kevin and Bean.
It's great to talk to you. I understand that you are going to be rocking out at Epicenter 2010 this weekend.
I will be in the mosh pit.
That's what I thought. Sounds pretty dangerous for a guy like you in your fragile physical condition, though.
If brains were legs, I'd be Usain Bolt.
That's a good point. That's excellent new material, Mr. Hockey, Dr. Hockey. Thank you. All right, so the way the game is played is you're going to be reading some lyrics from some of your favorite bands and songs that are going to be performing this weekend. All the caller has to do is identify it by title and artist. Do I have that right, Doc?
Yes.
Okay, let's try. We'll take them in order, Mike. We'll start with Adam. He is on line one. Adam, are you different, Adam? Are you ready to play Hawking the Hits?
Sure.
All right, listen up. Title and artist, what song is Stephen doing for you here?
Father, can you hear me? How have I let you down? I curse the day that I was born all and all the sorrow in this world.
Is it Rise Against?
No.
You are so dumb, for real.
The song is called Sorrow, which was actually in the lyrics, kind of a giveaway. Bad Religion is the band we were looking for that time, but thank you for playing. Let's try Kelly.
Father, can you hear me?
Oh, very nice. Got that, too. Here's Kelly on line two. Hi, Kelly. Thanks for calling the Kevin Bean Show. You ready to play?
Yep.
All right, listen up.
It's the moment of truth and the moment to lie, the moment to live and the moment to die.
What do you think there, Kel?
Absolutely no clue.
How about 30 Seconds to Mars? This is War. I don't think it's you, Dr. Hawking. I think you're doing a great job.
I sound just like them when I sing these songs.
You do. Let's try Christy, line three. Hi, Christy. Welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. Ready to play?
Yes, I am.
Listen up.
Don't hold me up now. I can stand on my own ground. I don't need your help now. You will let me down, down, down.
Rise Against, Prayer of the Refugee.
There you go.
Don't hold me up.
All right, hang on. You are in the drawing.
I wish I could stand my own ground.
Yeah, I was thinking how unfair it was to give you those lyrics.
That is just mean.
It's really just piling on, isn't it, Doctor? All right, so Christy is in the drawing. Let's see if Ryan can join her there. Ryan, listen up. Here's Dr. Hawking. We are Hawking the Hits.
All right, cool.
We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Just letting you know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Eminem, Crossing Roads.
Ooh. Oh, yeah, yeah.
So right, close.
So close. We'll give you one more shot at the title.
Oh, Eminem, Crossroads?
No.
I don't know.
Not afraid it's right. Nice try, though. Very, very
I wish I could walk this road together.
They really are. They're
you people suck.
This is mean. Jennifer, line five. Hi, Jennifer. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. You ready to try?
Hi, Kevin and Bean. Yes, I am.
Good luck.
Breathe in. Breathe out. Tied to a wheel. Fingers got to feel. I spin on a whim. I slide to the right.
Right, I slide to the left. Is it...
Title and artist.
Is it Linkin Park?
No, I'm sorry. This time it was Bush, Machine Head.
I felt you like electric light.
Nice.
Oh my gosh.
Nice try. Thank you. Nice that you get a lyric about being tied to a wheel also, Doctor. Jesus.
I wish I could breathe in and breathe out.
All right. One more. If this person doesn't go into the drawing, Christy will be our winner. Let's see how Cheyenne does. Cheyenne, you're on with Dr. Hawking. Listen up.
Late night. Come home. Work sucks. I know. She left me roses by the stairs. Surprises, let me know she cares.
Okay, that's Blink-182, Carry Me Home.
We'll give you one more shot at the correct title. Title and artist is what we're looking for.
Okay.
Blink-182, and the song is called?
All the Small Things.
Yay!
Yay!
Come home. Congratulations. All right, Christy and Cheyenne, both
catfight. Catfight.
Only one will win tickets and backstage passes to Epicenter 2010. Lisa May is doing the drawing. Who's it going to be?
Our winner's Christy.
Christy it is. Christy, congratulations. You're going to the
Thank
show this
you
weekend.
So much.
Both days and backstage passes. Would you like to bring Dr. Hawking as your date?
Yes, I would.
I'm going to get lucky.
All right, thanks for playing Hawking the Hit.
Stephen Hawking.
You're wrong and I'm right.
No.
You're wrong.
You're listening
you're
to
wrong. 106.7.
You're wrong.
Did you see the show last night?
Hang on. 7:39. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Omar's here. Yeah. Ralph is here. Song hasn't even ended yet. They're already yelling at each other about last night's Glee. You're
because
here for the
he's
Glee
wrong. Because Omar's wrong.
Because this was one of the worst shows ever.
Best ones.
No.
Okay.
All right,
look,
everybody,
Omar,
just hold on 1 second. We got the intro.
Glee Cap. Why do you like this stupid show? It sucks so bad, I'm gonna let you know. I think I'm gonna go number two on it. This crappy music makes me feel so goddamn sick. Glee cap. Glee crap.
Why is it number two your answer to every problem? Why is that, Omar?
It's the best answer to everything I don't like.
Omar, I know you hate. I understand you hated Glee last year, and you did make your argument, and you were overruled. But this year, the show is back and better than ever, right?
No, it's the same goddamn thing over and over again. They don't get any new storylines, any new content. It's
what?
Very repetitive. It sucks.
There's three All new right. major characters added last
oh,
night.
Oh, my God. That's what we need on this show is more characters. They have like 300 characters as it is. We don't need more confusion on the goddamn show.
All right. What's your complaint about the season two premiere last night on Fox?
All right. So they start off the stupid show with this Jufro guy doing this interview, going around asking the Glee kids of, hey, how do you think, you know, all the gay stuff is going? You know, they're trying to like poke fun at themselves because, you know, people like me.
Yes,
you know,
exactly. They're addressing you people.
Which are right. And this is what the gay kid has to say.
You know what, Jacob? It doesn't take much courage for people to park their cottage cheese behinds and their barca loungers and log onto the internet and start tearing people down, does it? But you know what does take some courage? Standing up and singing about something.
Yeah.
So here's a message for everyone that reads your blog. Next time, instead of posting an anonymous comment online, say what you have to say to my face.
Whack. And then he gets hit by a slushie because we haven't seen that before.
That's one of the themes of the show, Omar.
And then that's one of the
theme.
Crap of the show, okay? Wow. Is my point, dude. Okay? So the same thing is happening this year where Glee budget is being cut, but not only the Glee budget is getting cut, so are the cheerleaders.
Yeah, their the budgets. Cheerios.
So Sue Sylvester and White Man Afro Teacher Guy have to team up against this new woman head coach.
Coach Beast,
right?
Yes.
And she is a beast, man. Yeah, it's crazy. So they have to team up, and they have to cut her down so they could get the money
right.
back for their programs, right?
Right?
So they come up with this. So that's happening. Didn't that happen in season one? The same thing, right?
Well,
their budget, it's all about budgets and stuff.
Budget issues,
okay.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Then Sue Sylvester is trying to take budget money away from the Glee.
So same right. goddamn thing, okay? The writers are all like, oh, let's use what worked before. Write something new, people. Okay, so now regionals are going to happen in New York.
Right.
Okay. Okay, so they're
that's
happening.
The build up for the season. Up, right? All season long, they'll be working towards those nationals.
Exactly, okay. So, again, the Glee is having problems recruiting kids, just
right.
like in season one.
Yes.
So they have to do all this kind of crazy stuff to recruit people, and they decide to go in the middle of the courtyard at a school.
Yes.
And they perform Empire State of Mind.
Right.
And they do an awful job of it.
Oh, how dare you?
How dare you? Okay, little Stephen Hawking, right here. This is this
not
is rapping.
Stephen Hawking. He's just a kid in a wheelchair.
Play it, Mike.
Yeah, I'm out that Brooklyn. Now I'm down in Tribeca, right next to De Niro. But I've been hood forever. I'm the new Sinatra. And since I made it here, I can make.
Did he have a stroke?
No.
De Niro. What is that?
He's not Jay-Z, if that's what you're asking.
No,
he's
then
just
why do
white
this song?
Kid in a wheelchair rapping because it's about these characters singing. It's not supposed to be.
Hey,
a,
you always said the music was great on it, and you never had to defend it.
The singing part of that.
Oh,
was
the
awesome.
Girls. Okay. Little Precious, which she might have, like. I think she ate one of the characters or something.
Oh.
She's never looked fatter. She's like on a cage dancing. Ruined cage dancers for me forever. What's that about? We don't need to see that. On
this is
time.
What everybody's been waiting for.
Are you kidding me?
All right, move along.
So they got to move. They got to recruit all the Glee kids, so they're doing all these auditions, right?
Yes.
Remember yesterday I did my tribute to Glee?
Yes.
And I chose to parody Billionaire, right?
Right.
There's a little taste
right.
of this.
I want to take a on Glee so freaking bad.
Yes, I remember your song. It was
okay,
evil.
So one of the kids wanted to show off his skills, so he
right.
decides to do what?
I want to be a billionaire so freaking bad.
Yeah.
What?
Get some ideas, people. Stop ripping me off.
Oh, yeah. They what stole is wrong it from you this week and shot it for the premiere
episode. Oh, you think it's
episode.
Just coincidence?
Yes,
I think do. Not, my friend.
It's a very popular song,
I think
Omar.
Not. I think they heard me yesterday. They went after the show. They recorded it. They wrote it in. Just because I did it.
They filmed it and cut it into the premiere episode.
Ralph, that's exactly
Omar
what happened.
Omar is addressing only Ralph with his Glee cap. It's hilarious. He's just staring at Ralph the whole time.
Because he loves it so much, I don't get it. And we have, like, you know, pretty similar senses of humor.
Most things,
yeah,
yes.
Most things, yeah. But not this, because you're wrong. Okay, so the Sue Sylvester and White Man After Teacher guy have been treating the Manster coach, Beast, all poorly because they want her to quit.
Right.
So, the Beast tries to talk to White Man Afro Guy.
You think it's easy being a female football coach, being different? You think I don't get this everywhere I go? No. Everybody told me that Sue was a school bully and that you were really cool. I see they got that last part wrong, huh?
Oh, God, dude.
That's Send really this a to woman?
To yeah. After school special.
There's nothing wrong with teaching a little lesson in the middle of all the fun.
Yeah, right? Of course, because, you know, White Man Afro Man, he's going to learn an important lesson, right?
Look, I really owe you an apology. I guess I kicked this year off thinking that all of us in the Glee Club weren't outcasts anymore, and I thought we'd be turning kids away. And then when no one signed up for the club, I realized that we were still at the bottom, outsiders. And that's how I made you feel. I'm sorry.
Oh, see? He apologized for his bad behavior, Omar. God. Maybe that's something you should consider.
Up a little bit.
No,
maybe you should consider apologizing.
Are you kidding?
Once in a while for your bad behavior.
Pulled my pants down. I was like, oh, bearing down, dude. Seriously, dude. Are you kidding me? Okay, so the guy who sung Billionaire to show off his skills didn't actually show up to the audition.
Right.
Right? So yeah. Finn confronted him about it.
Do you know how everybody talks about you Glee guys?
Oh, yeah, you get used to all that.
Finn, I'm the new guy. It means I'm already on the outside looking in.
God.
I don't want to start off three touchdowns behind.
I don't want to start three touchdowns behind. Who talks like that?
Football
They're
players,
high school kids.
Football players.
Are you kidding?
He doesn't want to be.
I played football. I didn't talk like that. What?
Man, you should just punt right now.
Okay, but here's the thing, okay? One thing happened last night, and if this doesn't churn you guys, I don't know what will. Okay?
All right. Okay.
Play this
clip,
Mike. I saw
the show last night.
What would possess a person your age to get a boob job? You don't even know what your body's going to look like. It's an insult to nature.
I wanted people to notice me more. Like, I don't get what the big deal is.
No, the big deal is that a person who has to pump her nannies full of gravy to feel good about herself clearly doesn't have the self-esteem to be my head cheerleader.
Whoa, Boop Tana got a boob job.
Yes.
Looks awesome. Hot, spicy little Latina. Now the show's trying to tell chicks not to get boob jobs?
No.
That it's bad?
No, Sue Sylvester.
No, sir. Not in my America.
Sue Sylvester's always wrong. She always does the wrong thing. So actually, they're endorsing
Listen,
boob
dude.
Jobs.
No, they're not.
Yes, they are.
No, they're not. Did you hear the clip?
Yeah, but Sue Sylvester's the villain of the piece. She's always wrong. So actually, they're using reverse psychology.
What?
See?
No!
That's what he's doing
what
right now.
What are you
now?
Talking about? No way!
Well, Sue Sylvester always does bad things. She always does the wrong thing. Everything she says is wrong. Everything she does is wrong. So
no,
what? So by saying
dude,
that you shouldn't
no.
get boob jobs, they're actually endorsing
no.
boob jobs.
No, what?
Yeah, you missed it.
What?
You missed it, Omar. You
are you talking
deeper.
About, Ralph?
You got to look a little deeper.
No,
Omar.
Dude.
You got to look a little bit deeper.
And not to mention all the stupid music they did on last night's show that I have. I had 20 clips. I had to whittle down to 8 clips. They did stupid Lady Gaga. They did some stupid song from the Dream Girls. And they did a stupid storyline that little Stephen Hawking in the wheelchair wanted to join the football team. What? You're in a wheelchair. Quit and die, dude. And next week,
little
Britney
Kevin.
Spears.
You're calling you little Kevin. You're in a wheelchair. Just quit and die.
And the Britney Spears episode, because there's nothing hotter than Britney Spears right now. Baby, one more time. Shut up. We don't need that, dude.
Yeah.
Omar.
All the music sucks.
I think Omar is going to have an aneurysm. And
I'm going to go take
dead.
A crap right now, dude. Glee, you're going to be getting something in the mail.
Glee crap, glee crap, glee crap.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. Kenny Powers, one of the greatest characters on TV, played by actor Danny McBride from Eastbound and Down. He joins us coming up after the top of the hour. Right now, though, time for the showbiz beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Well, just weeks ago, since Haitian election officials told Wyclef Jean he is not eligible to run for president, Wyclef Jean yesterday announced he is pulling himself out of the presidential race.
Well, kind of had to, didn't he?
Yeah, pretty much. But he said it yesterday. They told him he couldn't run. He said, well, you know what? I'm not running then.
Nah.
Officially. Wyclef said he's also working on a new album called If I Were President, The Haitian Experience.
Okay.
Apparently, when you buy the CD, you get AIDS and go hungry. Stage experience.
Oh, no. He's not exactly saving face with the timing, though. This is like breaking up with a girl because she won't go out with you anymore.
Yeah, it's kind of funny that they told him he can't run, and he announced yesterday that he's not going to run, which is funny. Speaking of music, Phoenix is doing a very cool thing. They will give you a chance at remixing every song on their most recent album, Wolfgang Amadeus Phoenix.
They don't like what they did?
Well, they like it just fine. But they said as a gift to the fans, they are uploading all the vocal and music parts as separate tracks on their official website, wearephoenix.com. And you can download them all for free, and then you mix it as you see fit. That's kind of a cool thing.
I think so, too.
So if you're a Phoenix fan, you get to do your own personalized version of their music, the entire album.
Oh, I went to go see them on Saturday.
Yes.
Oh, I love them.
Is it sweater time already? Lindsay Lohan says she is tired of her side of the story not reaching the people. So she's talking about doing a documentary about her life.
A documentary?
Yes.
I think an interview would be just fine.
She is going to develop the idea and expose her life in front of the cameras, friends say. And she's ready to put it all out there for the world to see who she really is. I can learn who you really are from a simple cup of urine, Lindsay. I really don't need to see an entire documentary about your life. I just run it down in the lab.
And yeah.
They tell me everything I need to know about you.
And she's going back to jail, right, Ralph?
There's that possibility, a very likely possibility that that's going to happen, yeah.
Right.
And speaking of celebrities with problems, Mel Gibson certainly is the most popular guy in Hollywood. But he does have one good friend he can count on, and that is Jodie Foster.
Really?
They've been friends for a long time, since they did the movie Maverick together. She recently directed Mel in a new movie called The Beaver, where he plays a guy who can only talk through a beaver hand puppet. And she says to More Magazine, she knows the real Mel. She says he is the nicest, easiest person she's ever worked with. And she fell in love with him the second they met. She says he's undeniably gifted. She thinks his performance in The Beaver is one of his most powerful and moving performances. And she says that she hopes her true and loyal friend can get through this dark moment in his life. Well, that certainly is kind words from a true friend.
It is.
But Mel called her on the phone, I think, later. And had some choice words for Jodie because they didn't agree with everything she said in the interview.
What did he have to say?
He had to say the following.
Why? Because I let you sleep? That's my mistake. I should have woke you up and said me, bitch.
Oh, that's no
way. I should have woken you up and said me. You would have liked that better, yeah?
That's no way to talk to
you. You need a goddamn sleep.
Oh, I just waited for you. I waited and waited till I fell asleep.
Jodie sounds weird.
Jodie sounds like she's got an accent there. It's very strange. Probably should have stopped before Jodie started talking. That's my bad. Today's celebrity birthdays. Tommy Lasorda is 83 years old today. Joan
Don't forget, say hello to Jane Biondi.
I'm sorry, Tommy. Hi to Jane Biondi. Joan Jett is 52 years old today. Andrea Bocelli, the opera singer, is 52. Well, why?
What? Sunglasses indoors.
Blind dude. He's a blind dude.
But he's gay. I mean, he's gay. Excuse me. He's blind.
Oh, right.
That's a clip from Mike from me, wasn't it?
Oh.
Scott Baio's 49 years old today. Actress and TV host Bonnie Hunt is also 49. And Laura Vandervoort. We forgot to mention to Erica Durant when she was on that her old co-star's birthday is today. She could have given her a call. Or had a pillow fight or something. Oh. You know what I'm saying?
Whatever they do.
Yeah. She's 26 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Legendary comic book creator Stan Lee joins us in an hour. Right now, though, let's welcome Danny McBride back to the show. He is, of course, the star of Eastbound and Down, returning this Sunday night on HBO at 10:30, season 2 of Eastbound and Down. Danny, welcome back to the program, man. How are you?
Not too bad. Thanks for having me on.
Always great to talk to you. I got to tell you, your character, Kenny Powers, one of the greatest characters on television. The guy I would least want to hang out with in my whole life is Kenny Powers. Man, do I hate that mother effer.
You and me both.
I mean, I know you created the show. What made you want to play a guy who's so despicable with so few redeeming qualities that it's hard to even root for him? He's such a dick.
I mean, it just kind of felt like an easy fit for me. I don't like to have to stretch too far when I take on a role. So it just kind of felt like it was an easy fit. Yeah, I don't know. You know, we came up with the idea for the show. We kind of wanted to tell a story where we kind of followed the villain and then just try to figure out a way to get the audience to kind of root for him in their own way. And so that was kind of our kind of the thought process behind choosing someone that's so despicable.
Yeah, and you're right. I mean, you do root for him in that you hope that he sees the light. You hope that he appreciates that he's got a good woman in his life that he can't seem to ever treat right. You hope that he appreciates the things that his friends and family do for him. But at every single possible opportunity, it seems like he makes the wrong decision.
He is his own worst enemy. Yes, indeed.
All right, where does he pick up? What kind of bad shape is he in when season two starts this weekend?
I mean, we find Kenny in a much darker place. He's living the life of an outlaw out of Mexico, trying to, you know, hide from his past and hide from the mistakes he's made at the end of last season. And Mexico really kind of gives us a passport just to get a lot darker and crazier with Kenny.
Yeah, I would imagine that there are very few vices that he can't entertain south of the border.
Yeah, it provides everything that he would need, for sure.
Is it true that I heard that you actually could not shoot in Mexico for some reason?
No, we wanted to shoot. We really wanted to shoot down there. You know, we wanted to go down to Cabo and shoot down there because that would be real tough, just hanging out at the beach in Cabo and making dirty jokes. But, yeah, the powers that be thought that it would be too dangerous for us to shoot there. So they pushed us in the direction of Puerto Rico, and we found some great locations there. It ended up being awesome. We had a blast down there.
I can't imagine what that was like. I mean, that's probably not the type of place you ever would have ended up going on your own. So it's kind of cool that you got to see it, you know, on HBO's dime. But was it fun down there? Is it a good place to visit?
Oh, it was a blast. I mean, we lived in a casino. So, I mean, there were a lot of long days on the set and then a lot of long nights at the blackjack table just trying to make up for all of our mistakes on set. Yeah.
I know the show is executive produced by your good friends, Will Ferrell and Adam McKay. Did they go down there with you?
Ambassadors, they were deep in doing press for other guys. So one of their ambassadors from their company, Chris Henchy, he came down and he represented them well. He got us thrown out of the casino one night. But it was good. Everyone was, you know, Gary Sanchez was represented down in Puerto Rico.
I swear to God, from what I hear about you guys filming this show, there's a whole nother show in watching you guys make Eastbound and Down. It sounds like you have so much fun. Now, let me ask you this. Is Kenny Powell, he's out of baseball. He's never going to fight his way back to the bigs, right?
Well, we'll have to see. You know, this year, you know, like we said, we find Kenny living the life of an outlaw, but there is a local team that pretty much sucks that could use a man like Kenny Powers. So he might find his way into their ranks and then try to build back up from there.
Have you gotten much reaction from professional athletes? Have you heard back from any of them that either identify with this character or love to laugh at this character and watch the show?
I've heard back from, you know, just different word of mouth that different people have seen it and enjoyed it. And we get a lot of bands who actually like the show. I guess when they're traveling on tour, it's an easy DVD to pop in and get through all the episodes since there's only six of them. So we've had a lot of, crazy musicians, that have been into it too. I think recently we found out Marilyn Manson was a big fan of the show, which was shocking and mind blowing.
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
Didn't I see a picture of him dressed up like Kenny Powers?
Yeah, you did, which is pretty crazy, yeah.
That is crazy. I hate to ask, because I know everybody asks you this, but I know our listeners are going to know, what must it be like to have that hairstyle, to have the Kenny Powers mullet?
Well, you know what? The Kenny Powers mullet clips off at the end of the night. It's not a real mullet. It just kind of clips into the back of my head. The first season, I rocked a real mullet, and it was just too much. It was too much to deal with, and I knew we were going to Puerto Rico, and the mullet probably wouldn't fly as easy as it would in North Carolina, so so I would take it off and leave it be at the end, and I put it back in its coffin.
And the pictures that I've seen of the trailers for the new season, it looks like Kenny's rocking cornrows, if you can believe that.
Well, yeah, that's what you do in Mexico.
You got to rock the cornrows when you're living like an outlaw.
Of course.
Sure.
I can't believe this is the voice of Danny McBride on the show right now. We're talking about Eastbound and Down returning this Sunday night on HBO at 10:30. I was a little bit taken aback when you said that there were only six episodes in the first season. Is that right? That's all?
Yeah, six episodes of the first, and this season only has seven. You know, it's me and two other writers write the whole series, and you know, we kind of approach it like it's a long movie, and we just break it into 30-minute kind of increments that it kind of unfolds in. And so, like this year was us writing it basically like a 210-page script, and that's about as much as we can manage without kind of going nuts. And it allows us to be able to still work on films and things like that, not lock us up just in television. So we like to just kind of keep it small and special, and then hopefully people will let us do it again.
One of my favorite characters on season one was the great Craig Robinson, who we love so much on this show. Does he make a return in season two?
Craig Robinson doesn't. He lost his passport, so he doesn't come down to Mexico this season. But that's not to say he won't be back. Yeah.
All right. Before you go, here's a little taste of the magic of the wonderment of the great Kenny Powers, as played by Danny McBride on Eastbound and Down. Listen up.
I got to come clean, babe. There's one image in my life that consistently makes me happy, no matter when I think about it. And that image, that one image, is your big.
All right. So let me get this straight. So I'm going to pay for a. And I gotta pay for a goddamn hotel room, too?
What are you doing in my bedroom?
I mean, besides creeping around in here like some kind of rapist.
I think I'm gonna need to change my pants.
Well, I think you can see why we love him, yet we hate him at the same time. Kenny Powers returns, played by the great Danny McBride, Eastbound and Down this Sunday at 10:30 on HBO. Danny, always great to have you, man. Good luck with the show. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Have a good...
Hey, let's all talk about Megan Fox, shall we? By the way, you know we do our best to put up... That always surprises me when it comes back. We do our best all the time to put up new videos for you on kevinandbean.com. The Internet Roundup is one place you can go. We have posted, as part of the most recent Internet Roundup, the Megan Fox commercial. I think it's for Armani.
Yep.
It's black and white commercials, like a little movie of her in a hotel room, and the guy comes to deliver some food, I guess it is, Mike, or something like that, to her
room. Yeah, I think it's a pizza delivery guy, or the room service guy, yeah.
And she answers the door in her lingerie, in her bra and panties.
Of course she does.
Of course she does. And it's possible she may never have looked better. It's possible that this is the best she's ever looked.
It's unbelievable.
It's unbelievable. It's been a while since we talked about Megan.
Megan Fox, oh, Megan Fox.
But the reason we actually bring her up today doesn't have as much to do with Megan as it does her stepson. You know, she recently got married to her longtime boyfriend, that kid from 90210.
Bag.
Dag, right. He's got an 8 or 9 year old stepson at this point, who probably doesn't realize what's going to happen in his pants in about 2 years. But he's going to wake up as a teenager in puberty, and Megan Fox is going to be, thank God, not his mother, because that would be gross, but his stepmother. And this young man who's 11, who's just discovering the tingly parts,
yeah,
is going to be living in a house with Megan Fox. That is going to happen.
Oh my God. And also, on top of him feeling awkward and uncomfortable at home,
yeah,
imagine how jaundice a view of women he's gonna have.
You mean, you know, judging them all,
right,
by her?
He's gonna go to school and see like normal girls, and then he's
with
gonna see his teachers,
yeah,
and you know, friends of his parents and things, and he's gonna be like, wait, why is every other girl I meet bad in comparison to stepmom?
And he's gonna have friends, guys, who really don't care about him at all,
yeah,
but want to be his friend because they want to go to his house.
We had, yes, a friend in high school whose mom was like marginally hot, and we made his life a living hell. I can't imagine what it's going to be like with Megan Fox as your stepmom.
I know.
Coming to your like baseball games and stuff.
It is crazy to think about, and I know that it would be I guess, you know, to us on the outside, we're going, oh my God, it's Megan Fox. To him, it's just that guy that my daddy's been dating as long as I can remember, and now my daddy has married. I mean, he looks at her differently than we do, but at some point he's going to realize, hey, she's hot and I'm a teenage boy, right?
Yes, but you're right. They've been together 6 years, so he's known her since he was 6. Maybe, hopefully.
No, 3. I think he's only 9. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So maybe he'll have more of a mommy sense about her than a stepmom.
No.
And
also, Bean saying that, you know, it's going to be a couple of years before he gets the tingly stuff. At 9, he already is. Believe me.
Oh,
especially,
really?
For Megan.
Really?
Yeah.
This is rough.
I mean, I would get the tingly stuff at 1 if Megan Fox were living in my house. But I'm just saying how weird it's going to be for him, how uncomfortable that's going to be. And that's why we thought it might be interesting, because I don't know that we've ever done this as a phone topic before. We've talked about having hot sisters before. And nobody thinks twice about that, by the way,
right,
because that's a big no-no. But stepmom... That's got to be something. Look,
that's
she's not related.
Area.
She's not,
yeah,
related to you. It's a gray area. Exactly. Yeah. She's not related to you. But what's that like? Did you have a hot, or do you have a hot stepmother? Guys, that's what we want to hear right now from you at 1-800-520-1067. Producer Alex, by the way, real quick during the song, she was looking around for some other unbelievably hot chicks who also have young males in the house that, mm-hmm, are coming of age or will be soon. Giselle Bundchen, for instance, is another one. Somebody's going to grow up and that's going to be a stepmom. Catherine Zeta-Jones. Michael Douglas is quite a bit older than she is. I don't know how old Michael Douglas's other kids are, but Catherine Zeta-Jones is their stepmom.
Well, they were fully grown.
So even
when
better.
When they got married.
Even
so she can absolutely do him.
Yeah.
I honestly think stepmom is so much worse than real mom because there's something instinctive that just blocks you from having any type of feeling.
Yes.
If that's your stepmom, that's you're constantly having that inner conflict where you're like, that's my dad's wife, but man, she's hot.
Exactly.
And there's nothing in my blood that prevents me from wanting to bang her.
Right.
Tom Cruise has a teenage son right now. And Katie Holmes is his stepmother. What's that got to be like? Same sort of thing, right? So there's a lot of examples out there, but we want to hear your stories too. You have or had a hot stepmom. How conflicted are you? What must that be like? Give us a call. 1-800-520-1067. Your call is right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. 106.7 K-Rock.
Yeah, it's world famous K-Rock. Just like Chris Cornell.
Thank you. It's 8:38. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about what it must be like to be Megan Fox's stepson. I understand that he's only 8 or 9 now, but it won't be long before he realizes that Megan Fox is his mom. And by the way, thanks to the emailers who reminded me that Cassius, the little boy in question, his real mother, who used to be married to Brian Austin Green, is actress Vanessa Marcel.
Oh,
so
wow.
He's pretty much hosed either way. All the role model chicks in his life are supermodels, essentially.
No one will be good enough for him.
Right. Like I was talking about earlier, he's going to have such a tainted view of women. Now it's even, like, think about that.
Yeah, that's even worse.
Okay, that's mom. That's stepmom. Why are all other women crap? You know?
And how does dad get these hot women? That's the other question.
He's got something.
Excellent question. So we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. If you've been in a situation where you have a hot stepmother, what is that like? Whether it's uncomfortable for you or it wigs your friends out and they always want to come over or wanted to come over, we want to hear your stories. Let's try Chris. Chris is on line 3 joining us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. 1-800-520-1067 is the number if you want to weigh in with your story. Hi, Chris. Thanks for calling.
Hey, how's it going?
Hi, Chris.
Hey, so when I was 12, my dad got remarried. At 13, they had a baby. They put a camera in the nursery, and you could access that nursery channel from any TV in the house. Well, my stepmom would walk around naked, and she was a good-looking Asian woman.
Oh. Okay?
Yeah. I showed one friend. I sent it to 2, to 3, to 4, to 5. I had friends coming over. Instead of watching the Dish Network, they would go watch the nursery channel.
Why was your stepmom walking around naked in the house knowing that she had a 12, 13-year-old stepson at home?
Because she could. Her bedroom had direct access to the nursery.
Right.
And the outside doors could be locked off.
So it didn't even occur to her because she thought, well, they're not going to tune in to check on the baby. That's something that I only do, right? She had no idea that you were watching. Did you ever get found out?
No, never.
Wow.
That's
you were popular.
Great.
That is kind of great.
Chris, I got to pat you on the back. The fact that you hooked your friends up and stuff, that's really awesome of you.
I know. I was a good friend.
By the way, are they still married? And is it kind of awkward for you when you see them now?
They're still married. She doesn't have the perfect body like she used to. But, yeah, they're still going.
Okay.
He rejects her now.
Thank you for the call. He doesn't even want to see her naked now. He's excluded from seeing her naked now. Let's try Abraham. He's on line 6 joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Abraham, thank you very much for hanging on. Tell us your stepmom story.
What's up, guys?
Hi.
All right. So I'm about to turn 20 years old. My father, who's 45, just recently remarried to a 21-year-old blonde.
Yes.
Are you serious?
Yes. I'm about to turn 20 in about a month, less than a month.
Oh,
and I am engaged. And one thing that my fiance has problems with is that she thinks I like my new stepmother more than I do her.
All right. Look, it's just us guys here. No one else can hear. Is she right? Do you like the stepmom better?
No.
Okay, but be honest, Abraham, is the stepmom hotter?
She is hotter.
Yes.
Wow. So how does that make you feel, by the way, that your 40-something-year-old dad can get a hotter chick than you can at 20?
No idea, you know. That's just how we are. That's how
what
it is.
What's your relationship like with the stepmom? Do you guys get along pretty well?
She hits on me.
Oh, really?
When my father
just gets
is not
better
home.
And better.
Are you serious?
Yeah. And I try to work more to get away from the house just for that reason. And I can't really tell my father that because I don't think how he'll
anything great
now,
about that.
I have to ask, Abraham, and I'm glad you called. I'm not trying to put you on the hot spot here, but does she really hit on you, or in your mind do you imagine that she would like to be with you?
Oh, she sends me text messages and calls me.
Oh, my gosh.
All the time. She asks me when I'm going to be home, and not as, like, the motherly type to be like, you know, when are you going to be home? I want you to be here. She asks me, when are you going to be home so we could actually talk together?
Does she party with you? Does she ever get drunk with you?
She has.
Oh, dude.
I don't blame your fiancé. This would be really disturbing.
Yeah, this is trouble brewing. So yeah. You keep doing what you're doing, Abraham. You're going down the right path. I'm not trying to discourage you, but I'm saying there's trouble coming with between you and your father.
Oh, I know that.
Hey. Coming up after the top of the hour, we'll talk to legendary Taekwondo star Stan Lee. He will be joining us here. Not at all.
He is actually one of the greatest creators of comic characters in the history of the
I'm
world.
Sorry, I was misinformed.
He's also Marvel Comics. Drummer for Motley Crue.
No, that's not true. It's Tommy that's Lee. Tommy very Lee. Different guy. Not him.
That is I'm very on confused. The way here on the World Famous K-Rock. It is 8:53. This is the Kevin Abeed Show. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Feed on a Wednesday. Kevin Abeed Show. What's going on, man?
Unacceptable. I will not stand for this.
What?
Last night on Dancing with the Stars, they had their first elimination episode.
DWTS?
Oh, with the DWTS. Same amount of syllables as Dancing with the Stars, by the way.
It doesn't save any time at all.
Saves you no time whatsoever. Inexplicably, they let go David Hasselhoff.
What?
Wow, he must have been terrible.
He was, don't get me wrong. But if you're the producers of Dancing with the Stars, don't you just fudge the voting somehow?
I would think.
We got to keep the train wreck on the track so people will stop by to see it.
Somebody else was that low, right?
Yeah, three people were that low. The situation, Margaret Cho and Hoff.
The only thing I can think, and by the way, I 100% agree with you, keep the Hoff on as long as you can until it gets embarrassing and obvious that he's just being propped up. But he had no potential. I think that was what everybody was responding to. Is you could tell he was never going to be good.
But right. I can't imagine.
I think Margaret Cho is freaking Ginger Rogers. Yeah, okay, your point is well taken.
But producers kept the situation around because they're trying to appeal to that younger demographic, right?
Oh, I fully understand keeping the situation around.
I'm not saying get rid of him.
Right. But Margaret Cho.
But who was tuning in to see Fat Cho?
The crazy Asian audience. The huge Asian audience.
Yeah,
but
do you think that
they're... I'm just making that up. I have no idea.
It really doesn't make any sense from a rating standpoint. You're exactly right. You got to keep the Hoff. You got to keep the situation.
Fat Cho, by the way, isn't he a character on Hawaii Five-0?
I think he is, actually.
I think so, too. Here's a little taste of the horrible, horrible moment last night when the Hoff got the boot.
The couple with the lowest overall combined total and therefore leaving right now is... David and Kim.
That was the dance mix version of that clip. That's why we had a little dance break in the center there. But the Hoff took it in stride. I mean, the man's a pro. Brenda Burke, what's her name? What's the girl in there?
Brooke Burks.
She was talking to him afterwards, and here's what the Hoff had to say.
You're an actor. You're a singer. You're a multi-talented artist. What has been the most difficult part of all this for you?
Oh, you know, it's been a great ride, and I feel bad for Kim because she worked so hard to try and get me where I was going, and I'm just so proud that my daughters are here, and they got to see me go this far, so it's great.
Here's the thing. If you're in the Super Bowl and you lose, you could say it's been a great ride because you spent a season of being successful to get you to that stage. If you're booted on the very first episode of a TV show, it really hasn't been a great ride. Because there's been no ride, really, and you didn't get that far for your kids to see.
You just got cast, is all.
Yeah. They pulled your name out of a hat and put you in a tux and pushed you out there. Yeah. That's all.
By the way, does he sound drunk all the time now?
Yes.
Isn't that great?
What did you do?
Oh, it's the best.
Yeah, hi, this is David Hasselhoff. Listen, I wanted to figure out how to get tickets if I get down there.
But you don't need tickets, Dave. You're on the show. I'm sure.
Yeah, but where can I get them? I mean, they're like, where is there?
Just ask ABC. I don't know. Get their tickets.
Can I come to your radio station tonight and pick up something, or can I just go down there? Because
Dave's just confused. Did Lady Gaga steal her shtick? Well, she did. If you talk to Yana Morgana,
I'm sorry.
Yana Morgana is the mother of Lana Morgana.
Of course she is.
Lana Morgana was a singer-songwriter who Yana Morgana claims Lady Gaga co-wrote most of her songs with. But Lana Morgana committed suicide at the age of 19. And Yana Morgana, mother of Lana Morgana, claims that Lady Gaga stole all of her costumes and that whole shtick and all that outrageous style was actually Lana Morgana's, not Lady Gaga's, according to Yana Morgana.
Okay, I'm with you. I'm following you.
To which I say, life's for the living. You know what I mean? You know, Yana Morgana? Look, if that's the case, it's a shame, but it's not like she's losing out on any money or anything. I mean, maybe it's kind of nice that that Lady Gaga's carrying on the spirit and artistic intention of your daughter. Could have been a very different song with Lana Morgana singing it. Lana, Lana Morgana, Lana Morgana. That's what it would have been like.
Poker face, poker face. Mamma.
Yeah, I think Lady Gaga stole her stuff from Larry King. When did Larry King ever have a situation where he had to sing Poker Face?
He's gone bye-bye.
Yeah, well, he's going bye-bye. We got Piers Morgan, which is sad. Zac Efron in the news. In Touch magazine reports that Zac's trying to shed his pretty boy image. He showed up at an L.A. premiere recently on the red carpet with a flannel lumberjack shirt, a beard, mustache, and slicked back hair. Wow, that does sound manly. All right.
I saw those pictures.
What'd you do to him?
By the way, I saw his movie, his last movie, his Me and Orson Welles movie, and I see what he's trying to do. I don't know that he can pull it off.
He can't.
He may be too pretty to be the kind of actor he wants to be.
He's flimsy as cray paper.
Yeah, you could be right. I hate to agree with you, Ralph, but you might be right on this one. I mean, obviously, there's good-looking guys, your Johnny Depps, your Brad Pitts, who have managed to get past it, grow up, be respected actors. I'm not sure Zach is DiCaprio. On that path DiCaprio yet.
Yeah, but maybe he is like a DiCaprio or a Matt Damon. He just needs to grow up
just
and
needs to
mature
age a little
bit. Yeah,
get a little craggy.
Yeah.
Maybe so.
Maybe.
He's face full of acid. That's what he needs.
That's what he needs. He should talk to that girl who did it to herself.
Because 21-year-old Matt Damon could not have been born. You know?
He was born. He was 21 years old. Obviously, he was born.
No.
How did he get to be 21 if he wasn't born?
If you're not born, how do you get to be 21? You have to live 21 years. First, you're born, right?
You know what? Good point. You got me there.
Man. Where do they cancel the 10th?
Jesus Christ.
Speaking of real men.
I'm sorry, Ralph. I hate to interrupt. Late breaking news from the Kevin and Bean audience.
What?
Here's a listener who writes in. My girlfriend is sitting behind Hoff on a plane to Vegas right now.
What?
DWTS Bender begins at this moment.
Hoff's going right to Vegas.
He is. He's going to drink his sorrows away after being voted off the show.
You know what this is? This is Leaving Las Vegas. This is the Nick Cage movie. But it's Hasselhoff in the lead role. He's going to check himself into a flea bag motel and just drink himself away. That's the plan.
He's just to spot it. Well, look for him on TMZ.com at some point over the weekend being arrested.
He's going to meet a hooker with a heart of gold, and they're really going to help each other out. I'm looking forward to that. All right, let's talk about a real man. Spent too much time on
And do you think there's rooms at the Marriott available?
Dave,
do you know?
I'm sure Vegas has a Marriott. I'm sure there are rooms. There's lots
of
rooms
in
Las Vegas.
The festival from the Marriott Palm Desert,
I'm not sure what festival you're speaking of. I really don't. I'm out of time now, David. Today's celebrity birthdays. Laura Vandervoort, who is a small girl. What? Be a new superhero. Maybe I can pitch that to Stan Lee.
What's the advantage?
Small girl. She's really not big. And she can get into places other people can't get into.
Boy, again, a gaping hole.
Saying if you have like a, if you lose some coins down a sewer grate or something,
right.
Small girl could probably fit her arm down there and get you cash back.
Yeah.
Comes in pretty handy. Yeah. Laura Vandervoort was Supergirl on Smallville. Very different than Small Girl. She is 26 years old today. Actress and TV host Bonnie Hunt is 49. She is a real Hunt, by the way, that Bonnie.
Oh, what?
Hunt is her last name.
Okay.
Scott Baio is 49 years old today. Andrea Bocelli, opera singer extraordinaire, is 52 years old today. Joan Jett celebrates her 52nd birthday. And Tommy Lasorda, Dodgers legend, longtime manager, and still face of the franchise. He turns 83 years old today.
Don't forget, say hello to Jane Biondi.
Oh, hi to Jane Biondi. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
Lauren Vargas from Covina won tickets and backstage passes to both days this weekend of Epicenter 2010. Your tickets on the way from the world-famous K-Rock. It's 9:13. Come on.
Spider-Man, Spider-Man, does whatever a spider can. Spins a web any size, catches thieves just like flies. Look out, here comes a Spider-Man.
I try to imagine what it would be like to be some of the people that we get a chance to interview on this show. And I think if I were Stan Lee, I'd wake up every single day and think, yeah, Spider-Man, mine.
Yeah.
Mine.
How about Hulk? Mine. Fantastic Four? Mine. X-Men? Yeah. Mine.
Wow. It's just, I can't imagine the life the man has led. And he is once again making himself available to his fans. Get a chance to meet him in a very special up close and personal way as part of the Hollywood Expo happening the weekend of October 15th at Hilton Universal City in beautiful Universal City, California. Mr. Lee, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you, my friend?
Hey, I'm great now that I heard all those wonderful things you said about me.
Well, Stan, you are the man. You are sort of...
Yeah, and don't you forget it.
I won't. But thinking about all you've done over the years, I've always wanted to ask you, when you see a creation like Spider-Man get passed on to other writers and other artists and all the other characters you've created, are you happy to see what they're doing with it, or is there still part of you that feels like you're watching your child being raised by another family or something?
No, I'm watching my child being improved on and educated and matured by all these people. They do wonderful jobs, and I love seeing what they do. You know, you can't keep a character static in this world. Things have to move and progress, and luckily the people at Marvel are the best writers in the world, and all of the changes they make and all of the surprises they throw in for the viewers and for the readers, they're wonderful. I mean, I'm like a fan. I enjoy following it all and wondering what's going to happen next.
I know that you work as an executive producer on the movies. I assume you're going to be involved in the reinvention of Spider-Man that's coming soon. What do you think of this new young man that they've cast to play the role?
Well, first of all, I have to make a confession. I really am not that involved in the movies. They put my name in the credits as executive producer, which is very nice of them to do, and it makes me feel like a Hollywood big shot. But I really butt out of the movies until they call me and say, if I'm lucky, they say, hey, we got a cameo for you. Can you be here tomorrow at noon or something like that? So I know as little about what's going on there as you. In fact, you probably know more because you're in the media business and the radio business, and you get all these reports that I don't get.
Well, Stan, I did read that you would have loved to have played Thor's dad in the new Thor movie.
Oh, yeah. I think I was born to be Odin, but what the hell, you know.
They went with that crappy Anthony Hopkins actor instead.
Oh, yeah, he is wonderful. I think if it couldn't be me, he was a great second choice.
Stan, we were lucky enough to take the show down to Comic-Con in San Diego earlier this year, and I was at that event that you were signing for down there by the convention center, and it was amazing to see the age range of people who lined up to meet you and get your autograph on something. What do people say to you when they have that few seconds in front of you at an autograph table when they perhaps have been fans of yours their whole life?
Oh, they usually say, sign it so I can read it, dummy. No, they're really nice, and so many of them, which always amazes me, so many of them say thank you. Thank you for helping my childhood. I loved reading your stories, and it really makes me feel so choked up and so sentimental because I should be thanking them for having read the stuff and keeping me in business.
You can't have imagined when you were starting to draw comics and you were, I don't know how old you were, 12 or something like that. You can't have imagined that you were going to be able to turn that into a career that would last as long as it has. I mean, it must be a surprise.
I never expected to be in comics. But as you know, I didn't really draw them. I wrote them.
Right.
And one of the great things is I was lucky enough to work with the best artists who ever existed in the comic book business, and whatever I wrote, they made it look so much better because they drew it so beautifully. I think if I hadn't worked with artists as good as Jack Kirby and John Buscema and Steve Ditko and Gene Colan and all of them, and John Romita, that the stories might not have looked as good, and I might not be talking to you right now. You'd be talking to some other lucky guy.
We are talking to the great Stan the Man Lee on The Kevin and Bean Show. The Hollywood Expo is coming up the weekend of October 15th at the Hilton Universal in Universal City, California. You are going to be there on the Saturday, October the 16th only. Now, you've got something this year called the Super Stan VIP Package. Do we take you to Vegas for the weekend? What do we get with the VIP package, Stan?
Can I be very honest?
Yes.
I don't have the slightest idea. Somebody must have cooked that up.
They must be signing you up.
Sounds great.
They might be signing you up for something you don't want to do. I see there's a luncheon. There's a meet and greet. You're signing you're signing some stuff for them. Front of the line, photos, the whole deal.
God. Well, that sounds terrific, but it's the first I've heard of it. I'm always prepared. When I go to those things, I usually figure I'll spend most of the day, and there's always somebody who dreams up the activities for me. It's actually more fun for me, because when I get there, I'm surprised. I don't know what to expect. And seriously, this is the first I've heard of what you just said. Sounds cool.
You are one of the very special guests for that weekend, and talk about being in good company. Ray Bradbury is going to be there on Saturday as well.
Oh, man, am I his biggest fan.
talk about a science fiction legend. And Buzz Aldrin is going to be there on Friday.
I've met him before. He's a great guy.
And 120 other celebrities, including lots of cast members from shows like Star Trek and whatnot. So
I'd like you to name every one of them.
Yes, please, Bean. I don't think I'm going to do that. Stan, when was the last time you created a new character?
Oh, I don't remember. I'm doing them right now. I have this new company, POW Entertainment.
Right.
I'm sure you've already figured out that POW stands for Purveyors of Wonder.
Sure.
And I'm doing new characters for them all the time. The last one that I did was Disney has them now as a mobile feature. It's called Time Jumper.
Amazing.
And I've got a lot of things that are in the works now for movies and some television series. I wish I could talk about them. It's so frustrating because, as you know, it's always the movie studio and the TV network that wants to make the first announcement.
Exactly.
They're not ready yet. So, no, I'm doing that. That's what I love to do, come up with new ideas. And, of course, it's more fun now than ever because years ago I had to come up with the idea and then I had to write it. Now I come up with the idea and we hire a writer.
Perfect.
So I can do like 30 shows at a time because we get 30 different writers.
And speaking of shows, Stan, I want to say how much I enjoy Stan Lee's Superhumans over there on the History Channel. It's a great show.
Awesome.
Yeah,
show.
That turned out really good, didn't it? I've heard a lot of good things about it. I'm delighted.
Well, it's so inspirational whenever we have you on, Stan, because, you know, you've done more since you turned 70 than I'll do in my whole life. So it's incredible the schedule that you keep and how accessible you make yourself to the fans. And I know it's a thrill for everybody that meets you. October 16th, the Hollywood Expo, Hilton Universal, Universal City, California. And Stan, always great to have you on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks so much.
Oh, listen, you're one of the best interviewers around. I love being on your show. And call me more often, will you?
We will, Stan.
Okay.
Thanks.
All the best.
Take care.
Are listening to the world famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ. It is 9:47. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph Garman is here with our final look at the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday. What you talking about?
Casting news. Glee, of course, made its season premiere last night. Huge show. Excellent show. Omar loved it.
He did.
Like you finally won him over. Interesting casting news out of E! Online that Gwyneth Paltrow will be on an upcoming episode this season.
Nope.
Easy.
Yes.
No.
So hot.
Thank you. As a substitute teacher who takes over for Mr. Shu when he is out sick, and I guess she will be singing along with the Glee kids. She has sung before in projects. She did a duet with Huey Lewis in the film Duets, which was about karaoke.
That's right.
Yeah. She made the charts with their. She and Huey did that cover version of the Smokey Robinson song "Cruisin." Made the charts.
Yeah.
It was all right. It's
no,
confident.
It wasn't.
Have you seen the trailer for her new movie where she plays a country music superstar?
Though? Oh, sweet Jesus in
Have
heaven.
You seen that
it's
one?
Everything Ralph loves.
Oh.
She's playing a Faith Hill type character who has a tragic fall and then has to fight her way back, supported by the love of a good man played by Tim McGraw, is playing her husband in the movie.
Does she fall on her face in the film? Is that how they explain away what she looks like?
How dare you, first of all.
Does she get her boobs caught in a combine or something to explain why they're hanging down around her belly, even though she's got A-cups?
I will say that Gwyneth Paltrow plus country music is everything you hate about the world.
It sure is. Speaking of casting news, congratulations to my good buddy Kevin Smith.
Yeah.
We talked about this on our Hollywood Babylon Smodcast over the weekend that now on, is available on iTunes and on smodcast.com on Monday. But he landed actor John Goodman as one of the stars of Red State, the new film that he's started filming this week. So wanted to congratulate him on that. I know he's been wanting to work with John Goodman for a long time, and it's good casting.
Is there anyone else in that movie we've heard of?
Yes.
Any names come to mind that you could share?
Oh, you want names.
Yeah.
Legendary film actor Michael Parks is in the film. You may remember him as the owner of the casino in Twin Peaks, where all the bad stuff happens. One-Eyed Jack, remember that casino? Right. He played the French-Canadian owner in that. He's been in a bunch of Tarantino and Robert Rodriguez films. He's been around for a long time.
Anyone
He's
else?
An excellent actor. Melissa Leo, who was nominated for an Oscar for her performance in Frozen River. She's also in the film. Stephen Root, you know him from News Radio and King of the Hill. He does the voice on King of the Hill.
Office Space,
of course. Mm-hmm. Milton, he played in that
and,
film.
Mm-hmm. And anyone else?
Let me think. Who else could be
anyone we might be really excited to hear is going to be in the film?
Oh, that would be me. That would be
yeah!
me.
Yes!
I start shooting next week.
How about that?
So I'll be gone for a little bit, boys and girls, but I'll be back. I have to go off and make a little movie. This is a very exciting film.
Very exciting. This is a real film.
It's a real film, and it's a real role.
Not to take anything away from Sharktopus, but I mean, this is exciting, sir.
I have this is probably my biggest film role to date. So I have to thank Kevin, of course, for putting me in his movie and giving me such a nice role. However, the interesting little fact may be is that of all people, first of all, it's a film written by Kevin Smith, one of the most talkative guys on the planet Earth.
Right.
Guy just, and he writes like he talks. Just, it's all about the dialogue for Kevin.
He never shuts up. That's what you're saying.
And I've been known to be a little chatty myself from time to time. I play a mute in the film.
You do not.
I have no lines.
Shut
Are
up.
You serious?
No, my character has no lines whatsoever.
That's so bizarre.
It is very bizarre.
How bizarre?
But at the same time, it's very cool.
Now,
I can say no more.
Okay.
And I will say no more.
All right.
But I'm telling you, my character, who is in the majority of the film, has no lines whatsoever.
Now,
So we're out of time for this topic, because I know you have other stories you want to do, but we are going to have to dig back into this.
I'm telling you, don't dig because I can't talk about it.
Because I can't imagine as an actor, I mean, that really hamstrings you a little bit.
No, I was going to say it makes it very hard. I mean, because you have to rely on other things besides your voice.
And it makes it sound like they hired you for your looks, not for your ability to read a line, too.
Exactly. I'm so tired of being a piece of meat in this business.
Finally, get recognized for your talent.
Fine. No, they just want me to show my abs, you know, and just, you know, be eye candy. And it's a little insulting, but I'm willing to live with it. I'm the Taylor Lautner of my generation. That's the problem. No, it's an interesting story behind it. We'll talk about it some other time. Kesha is in the news, talking to the British tabloid The London Sun. I'm talking about her interest. She says, sure, some young stars dance on tables, some fall out of limousines, drunk out of their minds, but not Kesha. She has more refined tastes. She says that she has a soft spot for arithmetic. She loves math.
No, she doesn't.
And one of her hobbies is to tackle really hard math problems. That's how she likes to spend
her
time.
That's what she does on her off time.
Yes, Lisa. Why don't you just stop judging her?
She sits around with a math book and does
don't
problems.
Don't judge her by her looks. Judge her for her mind. Speaking of judging people, Rosie O'Donnell in the news again. Apparently, according to Us Weekly magazine, she's got a new love. New love in her life. You know, of course, she split up with her wife, Kelly Carpenter. Now she's met a new woman named Tracy Katchick Anders. And Tracy lives right next door to Rosie. What could be easier?
Oh, okay.
Tracy has 6 kids. Rosie has 4.
Oh, my God.
So now, between the two of them, they are raising 10 children.
I smell a reality TV show.
Rosie calls it the Gady Bunch, how they've put them together, the two of them. That's her joke.
She's still
mine.
Hilarious.
She's still got it. It's a real-life Gady Bunch, she says. By the way, Rosie says she's looking forward to getting back in front of the camera early next year. She's got a new show coming on Oprah Winfrey's own network in January. So those of you who have been missing Rosie from your TV sets will soon be in luck in January.
Boom! Barf!
Justin Bieber's in love. How about this?
No.
TMZ.com has pictures of Justin making out with Jasmine Villegas. She apparently is another aspiring singer who is his opening act on his concert tour.
Who cares about Justin Bieber? Nobody cares about Bieber.
I'm telling you, he's a big star. Photos are obtained by a Canadian tourist who caught the two making out in the back of a Honda. And took the
really?
Photos, and TMZ's got them up on their website if you want to check out.
And she beat him off.
No.
It was consensual.
It's just making out in the back of a back of
it
a
was consensual. She didn't have to ask him to leave.
She's cute, but she looks awfully young. I mean,
well, he's 16.
Well, he's 16. Mike.
I know, but yeah, a lot of these starlet types, they look a lot older than they are. I mean, she really looks young.
Yeah, she looks 15. 14, 15? I don't know how old she is.
Probably age appropriate for Justin Bieber.
Yeah, I mean, you know, boy. Young man's got to find his first love someplace, Psycho Mike.
I hear you.
You remember your first kiss, don't you?
I remember my first lay, and it was bad news. It was a mustachioed succubus of a woman.
I'm sure these kids aren't having the sex. I'm sure they're just making out and just kissing.
All right.
Because that's what's appropriate when you're 16 and 15.
Not acid for breakfast and mustachioed succubus?
No. That's not a good plan. I remember when Justin was just a little kid. He's all grown up now. Now he's just grown right in front of our eyes. So sweet. And speaking of sweet, Susan Boyle.
Oh.
Is ready. This is the all Chewbacca edition of the showbiz news. Susan Boyle is ready to release her second CD. Are you ready to buy it? her first CD sold 3.8 million copies, by the way. In this day and age,
unbelievable,
of the death of recorded music, at least in terms of buying it on disc and record stores and that kind of stuff, that is a monstrous amount. But she's got the first single off that CD is a Lou Reed song called Perfect Day.
What
odd choice. This is funny because this is the song she wanted to sing on America's Got Talent a few weeks ago when she walked off because they wouldn't give her the rights to sing it on television. She walked off in tears, apparently, because she couldn't get the rights to sing that. And that's going to be on the CD. Also, she's going to sing a cover of the Crowded House song, Don't Dream It's Over.
Wow.
And a bunch of Christmas music. Okay. So you know Bean's going to get it.
Yeah.
I'm guessing this CD may not sell as well as the first. It's just a guess. And Lindsay Lohan's in the news. She wants her side of the story to get out. She feels as if the paparazzi and the tabloid press are influencing people's opinion of her, and she would like the truth to be heard. Word has it from AbsoluteNow.com, the entertainment news website, that she is developing the idea of doing a documentary about her life. She thinks by exposing her life to the cameras, people will get a look at the real Lindsay and not believe everything they read in the papers, like her failing drug tests and going back to court because she violated probation. Who perpetuates these lies?
All of that is true.
What?
That's not a good idea.
No, she shouldn't put herself in front of the cameras. If anything, she needs less cameras. More stay-at-home time. And you believe this Brittany Jones when she says she had an affair with Ashton Kutcher? Star Magazine's got her story. She's 21 years old. She claims that Ashton came on to her at the Lucky Strike bowling lanes here in Los Angeles while he was there celebrating with his wife, Demi Moore, and her kids. They were bowling together, and she said she was at the bowling alley, and he came up to her and started chatting with her at the bar. She slipped him her number, and the rest is history. He started texting her, and then they got together at the house when Demi was gone, and they made passionate love on the couch.
We don't know what really goes on with people. We only, you know what we hear, but he does not seem like the type. This story smells fishy to me.
It does to me, too.
That's no way to talk about Brittany. You don't even know her.
I'm just saying. I'm not predisposed to believe her tale.
I don't know if you've seen the photos either, but she's
just dancing.
If Ashton Kutcher's going to cheat, you'd think he'd cheat.
Yeah.
A supermodel or something, right?
Why not?
But maybe you think a civilian isn't as dangerous, you know? Maybe you think you can get away with it. If it's like a regular person, maybe they'll keep their mouth shut.
I don't
and maybe
know. It seems to me like a famous person would be more reliable, really. They don't have anything to sell.
Well, there you go.
Or a mute actor.
Today's celebrity birthdays: Joan Jett's 52. Andrea Bocelli turns 52 as well. Scott Baio, we found out, is 50 years old. So I'm sorry to all the Scott Baio fans out there who are writing the emails correcting me. Bonnie Hunt is 49 years old today. And Laura Vandervoort from Smallville.
And she's Small Girl, right?
She's not Small Girl. She's on Smallville. She was Supergirl. She's on V as well. She's 26 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph, and thanks to everybody for listening today. Today's program. Tomorrow, I think even better, if you can believe that, because
what?
Anna Torv is going to be here from the Fringe.
Oh, Fringe.
How about that,
I can't
right?
wait for Fringe to come back.
Thursday means our regular weekly visit with our good friend Dr. Drew. He'll be joining us tomorrow. Actor.